Brave Maximus because it braves the nether regions of your rectum with the fire goblins.
That's not even funny.
What the fuck's going on down there?
Oh man, ladies and gentlemen, there's so much toy news going on today. Wow, and none of it has to do with Transformers. So welcome to WTF at TFW episode 123, where we're going to talk about Transformers news. While
two, two, three.
Two, two, three. While we talk about Transformers news. And our sister podcast over at Toku Nation, wherever it may be, I'm sure is having a great time talking about the Tamashii Features event going on right now. But over here, I'm joined by Gog Dog.
Hello.
Hello, welcome to episode 123.
Plus 100.
Yes. Sure, look.
Thank you for having me.
No problem.
Yeah. Hopefully we can do this again.
I'm looking forward
Let's
to that.
Get ahead of ourselves.
That Dark of the Moon movie. That looks pretty cool. I forgot what we were talking about in episode 123. I should look that up.
Probably Revenge of the Fallen.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't know. Who knows?
WTF and TFW historians, please let us know in the thread. Also joining us today is Seth Buzzard.
Hey.
Hi.
Do you like relationships?
Sure,
we all do.
Certainly do. I have a relationship with this Trisket. Just ended. Oh, well. also joining us, special guests, all the way from Kipling Station. Is GM Fan 101 from the Canadian Slag Podcast.
Let me get this right. You couldn't look up episode 123 in your own form. You have to get your historians to do that.
Yeah, because then I don't have to click things.
Don't take the focus off Kipling Station.
Yeah.
You know what the weird thing about Kipling Station? Just like Evangelist said, all the way from Kipling Station. No matter where you are, Kipling Station seems like a long ways away.
Mm-hmm. Just about Apparently, as long as the relationship that I'm about to have with this Trisket.
On episode 123, you had Derek J. Wyatt talk about the Club Cheetor figure.
Oh, okay.
So that was...
What was the date on that?
November 26, 2010.
Oh, so it was in between Revenge of the Fallen and Dark of the Moon. Okay,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, there was a behind-the-scenes with Orsi and Kurtzman talk.
Hmm.
That okay. was after we got through our stage of becoming completely cynical about the live-action movies.
No.
Yeah. I never got cynical. I just had my own fun with them. My own special fun. But speaking of special fun, I'm about to podcast with some real men. So let's get this show on the road. We're going to talk about some Transformers, and we're going to open up with some UK Transformers. Apparently, a photo came up. Something that really surprised me. There's a catalog for the UK retailer Esdevium Games, a purveyor of hobby products and collectible card games. Apparently, there's a Transformers figure packet that they're going to be selling. It shows some new Prime-oriented artwork on a little baggie, and right next to it is the Arms Micron weapon capsule version of Optimus Prime, who turns into a little gun. Now, the Arms Micron capsule toys are only available in Gashapon machines in Japan or in bulk from a whole bunch of different retailers. So the idea of this stuff showing up outside of Japan is kind of amazing, because these are usually confined to coin-operated machines in Japan. And this is especially awesome if they can get it to cover more than just the first wave, because that means people may get yet another way to achieve Bulkhead Knuckle. So that's pretty exciting for UK fans. Apparently in the product codes, you can see the first letters on the page correspond to the manufacturer, and on the page this thing is on, apparently that starts with TOM, so maybe this is coming in through Tomy in the UK. But, I mean, guys in the UK, if you do see these things, like, especially if they're just for sale, like, at the cashier at the supermarket, and they're, like, you know, £2, you should buy them. They're very fun toys. Gog, I know that you just recently got acquainted with the Zen of the Arms Micron. How would you feel if these showed up in grocery stores?
That would be cool. Like, I don't know if it's actually a new trend or not, but at least from my perspective, I've been seeing more and more of these Japanese Gashapon-style figures here in the U.S. So if that was something that would start popping up around here, because, like, I mean, Gashapon, quote-unquote, like, those types of coin-op machines are nothing new. Like,
no, no.
You know, me and Seth, when we were, you know, tiny little youngsters running around, we those things were still in every, you know, Kmart and stores and stuff back then.
They still are.
It's just, yeah, they are. I mean, that's what I'm saying. But it's they've been a staple. But like the contents of those said capsules is where Japan and the U.S. have differed quite a bit. So it would be, I think that would be a really interesting thing for some of these more robust products that you find in a capsule versus the severed toe or whatever, just weird, oddly painted piece of rubber that, or the bouncy ball. Or
the thing you throw at the wall and it climbs down the wall.
Or the piece of gum. Like, you know, so that would certainly be a trend I would be in favor of.
But Japan has legit collectibles in their gashapon machines.
But the only problem, though, is that the Japanese gashapon machines are like four times the size of the ones that I'm making fun of, and therefore probably way more expensive and consume more room. So I don't know how American businesses would feel about that sort of change, but but yeah, like, but I mean, this isn't about America. This is about the UK. So, but if this, do these, now did this have like specific English packaging? Like, it's not just a store that is importing the gashapon capsules and putting them in their store. Is this,
yeah,
this
the,
is actually?
The image shows a little pouch that seems to have Prime oriented imagery on it.
Okay.
That I've never seen before.
Okay, so that's a good sign. Hopefully, then this is we'll start seeing. Maybe it's a company that like a distributor, got a hold of these from Tomy and was like, hey, because like these capsule stuff, like it's not. I mean, I know what I'm saying is obvious, but like there are tons and tons of capsule toys in Japan, and I'm sure even Tomy as a company has their own capsule machines with tons of these little toys and build a figure, whatever, build a toy, put it, assemble it from the pieces out of the little baggie in the capsule. And the Arms Micron ones are just one of many that Tomy operates, I assume.
Oh, yes.
So this showing up, like it's not something like specifically like a Transformers offering. I mean, it is. It's Transformers brand. They're toys. But it's part of a bigger picture of capsule toys that they offer. So this actually spreading out like that is like it makes sense in the grand scheme of things, because it's probably part of a larger, you know, business machine that they want to. I'm sure Tomy would love to see companies outside of Japan do that. But I almost wonder if like it's a distributor who is importing like various gashapon toys from Japan, including Tomy, and Transformers happens to be included in that, but trying to say like, oh, well, you know, this is popular over here. Maybe, you know, something hasn't caught on yet. Maybe we can import these as like a wholesaler and offer them to, you know, smaller stores and, you know, give them selling points like, hey, you know, put this in your store. It's cool. You know, the higher profit margins and the little quarter machines for gum or whatever, but I don't know. We'll see. But I'd love to see something like that, or even like Diamond, because Diamond does a lot of that stuff in the U.S.
Oh, they pop up with so many Japanese products.
Yeah, they all sorts of just really odd stuff, and the comic shops and specialty stores can all buy that stuff directly from Diamond, along with their weekly shipments of comic books and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, if this is something that could get a hold of like that, and that's even something that I've seen happen quite a bit in comic shops over the last couple years. Even the Japanese ones, like my local comic shop in Florida before I moved had all sorts of little blind box things, and those were being purchased directly from Diamond, and in a lot of cases those were actually like Japanese imports. Like I specifically remember like some little blind box, like little Street Fighter, super deformed Street Fighter guys.
Yeah.
I can't think of them off the top of my head, but there's tons upon tons of this stuff, and most of those are like blind box. But it's that stuff. I have seen an upward trend of that, like in comic stores. So if Diamond would be able to get a hold of these and then have the little, you know, maybe like, but the actual capsules aren't blind, right? You can see what's in the capsule. It's just the blind aspect of it is the machine. You don't know which one it's going to spit out, right?
The capsules are, I think, color-coded, but they're also heavily tinted. So if you don't know the color codes, it's tricky unless you can hold it right up to your eyes.
Yeah. But either way, yeah, that I would be wholly and completely interested in something like that making its way over here via a large distributor like Diamond, where you could, you know, go into a comic shop and be like, hey, could you put a couple of these in for an order from me? And then, you know, be able to get them that way. That would be neat.
16 bulkhead knuckles and I'll be good to go.
Yeah.
Seth, as a purveyor of the blind packed product of late, how would you feel about little mini-con dudes showing up in baggies in comic shops or supermarkets?
Well, I had gotten that first wave, and they did come in the capsules. And I don't remember specifically if... I remember the capsules being different colors. I don't really remember noticing if there was any correlation between what was inside and the color. I mean, there probably was. But, yeah, they were heavily tinted. But, like as Dog was saying, I mean, when you get one of these things out of a machine, there's no skill to it. It's just whichever one comes out, and you can't see what's on the bottom. So, yeah, that's where the randomness really is when you do it that way. But, I mean, I would like to see this sort of thing kind of get out of Japan and become a deal, because like even when we were kids, like there were machines that kicked out little toys, but even then they were kind of junk. But at least there was some sort of variety and interest to them. I have seen a little bit larger than like the old school quarter operated machine floating around. Not quite as elaborate as what you tend to see in Japan, but like there's a hobby store here in town that has a machine that has like six different things. It's like one big unit, and sometimes they got stuff in there that's a little bit interesting. But I know in Japantown in San Francisco there's a little market that has some more probably even from Japan type machines. So you know that it's an interesting thing, and it'd be cool. I mean, does this talk about at all what the price of these things is coming out of a machine?
Not as far as I know. I believe in Japan it's a 300 yen machine that they're put into.
I believe is equal to
about $4. More or less. Like I know 300 yen is like a common gashapon machine price from what I recall. Because you pop in, you know, three coins basically, and then turn the crank.
You know what would be neat about this is if they, because blind pack stuff has, I think that's, it's, you know, like I said, some of the import stuff has really taken off here in North America, but I think that's also as a whole, like the blind pack stuff all around, like, has really, because like look how many of us or people that we know are just so excited about like the blind packed Lego minifigures and the Creo. I mean, even though like you can oftentimes there's ways to figure out what it is without it actually being, you know, just a guessing game, but this whole like blind pack thing I've seen over the last couple of years has become really popular. But not necessarily in the capsule way, but just like blind bagged or blind boxed. But it would be really neat if they still offered that, but like maybe change up the packaging for the North American market, where stick them in a little box or stick them in like a little baggie, and then that way that they could actually sell them to the, you know, the North American market in the way that all these others are, and then they wouldn't have to like import the Japanese specialty machines and stuff like that. So,
yeah, well, a lot of the stuff that gets sold blind bagged in the U.S., like you mentioned, the Lego minifigs, the Creo, Kinex has Angry Birds, Hasbro just released Angry Birds Star Wars, like Star Wars fighter pods. Like, these are all things I've seen blind bagged. And it's always in bags. Mega Bloks also has Power Rangers minifigs blind bag, and Marvel characters blind bag.
And the Halo is in bags. Industry. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Halos and blind bags. There's these little squiglet figures that are blind packed. And with the bags, you have that ability to squish them and feel and try to figure out what's inside when they're not blatantly just stamping numbers onto them. But like, these are all things that are small enough to where you could put in those into a little plastic bubble and sell them out of a machine too. So it's like Gachapon kind of already exists in North America. It's just not out of machines.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But like, but what I'm saying is, instead of them actually being in the capsule bubbles, like, they could just do a little packaging change, and I think that they could actually be successful over here.
Yeah, totally.
But I don't know how successful they would be in their capsule bubbles without the machine, and I'm not sure how successful those capsule machines would be, because that's a format that even the people who in North America who are excited about blind pack stuff, that it's not a format that they normally take part in. So I think even though it would be maybe a bit of a financial investment for whichever company would be it, you know, Takara or Hasbro, or, you know, some middleman who gets the license to distribute them, the overhead cost for, I wonder if the overhead cost for maybe a packaging change to put that more in line with how we over here consume blind packed merchandise would be, if it would be worth it in the long run to do that.
Well, I'm curious about the foreigner perspective on this. GM fan, what would you say about the notion of capsule toys showing up in blind bags?
No, well, like you guys said, blind bags seem to be increasing in popularity, so if there's a good time to do it, now's the time as any. I'm glad that the UK might be getting bulkhead fisted, because usually they get bulkhead fingered.
No.
Good effort there. Good try.
No, like, it's cool that the UK is getting something that we might not even get, because they get to go out there and buy these on the store shelves, and what is it, like $2, we're guessing, or £2 for them? That's something cheap. They can just walk out of there with something. I mean, it's like a Legends class toy, I guess, for them.
It's so patronizing.
I don't know.
It's nice that the UK gets something. I mean, it's cheap garbage, but, you know, throw them a bone once in a while. It's cool.
Then, well, they're always those poor guys. They get nothing, just, and we now don't they're get getting something.
It's so patronizing.
Like, it's patronizing for me, because I just have no interest in these whatsoever. Like the
I'll deal with that. Don't worry, I'll deal with that.
You've already tried convincing me on wave one, and you failed.
Yeah, but wave two is different. Wave two is different.
Yeah, it's more full size characters that for some reason are now mini cons.
No, it's more bulkhead
their larger
knuckle
versions.
It's more bulkhead knuckle. We'll talk about this later.
No.
Yep.
You know, it's cool. Like, I mean, if it does come here, like you guys said, it'll be a nice little thing to put in comic shops too that people can pick up here.
And it'd be a really nice and expensive way to keep the Prime brand moving if it hits any kind of lull point between 2013, 2014. You have that extra month of life.
The year of almost not getting new deluxes in retail hasn't been enough?
Yeah. Well, no. Americans have been. I'm talking about America now.
Oh, okay.
No, yeah. American. Canadian retail is a whole other story. But yeah. Well, we've been getting the new Voyagers, which blows my mind that we're getting the new Voyagers this whole time, but we haven't gotten any new deluxes since Wave 1. Just makes me wonder how many Wave 1 deluxes March. They made in Canada.
Yeah, I think that came out in March or something. It's almost been a year.
It's like they made like just an astronomical amount or something like that. Like that's the feeling I get.
Which still boggles the mind, considering that they already had most of those characters out in the first edition line.
Yeah. But we have an astronomical amount of those kicking around too.
But no, they're like, you seem to like them. People seem to like them. Hey, easier way of getting into people's hands. I'm all for it. I don't care. It doesn't affect me.
But are you going to buy it?
Maybe if they're like a buck each. Maybe. But at the same time, I think that that dollar could go to a coffee that I could probably use more.
You have a problem.
What
if, you need
if the Optimus Prime 1 was re-released in white and blue?
He should be getting his own mold.
Well, that he's not going to.
Maybe.
Maybe.
A whole lot of maybe.
Maybe. He pre-ordered six of them.
Well, we don't have any more concrete info on this, but I'm going to keep my ears open because I like the idea of Capsule Toys making it over the oceans. In the meantime, let's move along to some new picture picks, possibly even about things that have more solid amounts of information available to us. Someone's calling my phone. I don't know if you can hear this. I have a portal ringtone. It's pretty top tier. I'm going to have to post this one on to voicemail, though. Sorry, Mom. Oh, she's used to it. She doesn't
Mom,
do it all the time.
I'm recording something.
Mom, I'm making my shows. I'm making my shows.
How come that never makes it onto the show?
I edit it.
Just you yelling at your mother like a selfish child.
Mom, I wanted some chocolate milk. I'm thirsty. Making my shows!
5 days to ship? Do it!
So, new picture picks. Now, when we were putting this episode's planning phase together, I got this text message from someone called Chris. A series of text messages. Which was, "Lemmy on tonight's episode, I got stuff." And then it was followed up by, "I even have a pick." So
it came up today
with that plea, that literal, that plea. SMS plea. I even got a pick.
You didn't even finish the first one.
GM fan 101. I want to know. I'm leaving the other part of that out. Cause that's a spoiler. I want to know what your pick is that you were so excited about.
Well, I'm excited cause it actually makes me like something shattered glass. I'm picking the Make Toys trailer Shattered Glass Ultra Magnus.
Thank you. I was hoping that would come up.
Yeah, shocking, I know.
Sell out.
What?
Sell out.
No.
Sold out, man.
But, that was my voicemail ding going off.
Christopher, answer your phone.
The sculpting on this thing is friggin' gorgeous.
It actually looks really cool. Like, he's got the shoulder stacks, which may or
and the
may not.
Missiles! They put the missiles in!
And one missile, it looks like you can pull it out and make it like a chain missile. I don't really know what that's all about, but it just looks cool because it's a chain.
Like
and the head sculpt looks really cool. He's got a chest sculpt. The legs really bulk him up. Like, the proportions look more Magnus-y than they looked on Optimus Prime.
There's a lot of new part stuff going on in here. Because, like, I know for a fact, like, thinking about it, like, shoulder things and a chest piece, that's new entirely to this set, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It actually looks like, if you look at the back view, the shoulder pieces that you add onto it may still even work in alt mode. Like, it looks like it might even make, like, bumpers on the grill. I can't say for certain. You might have to pull out the missiles so it's still flat and flush.
Yeah. Just the whole notion of, like, of an upgrade to this level is kind of exciting to me because this is what I saw in Mastermind Creations with the Annihilator. And the Battle Tanker was already a pretty okay release. And if I mean, aside from the new parts, if they were also able to give it another, like, go over and kind of, like, just tweak some of the tolerances here and there, specifically the ratchet hinges that move those two arm pieces around.
Yeah, those are tight as hell.
They, like, if they were able to do a whole bunch of tweak into that thing and mess with some of its joint tolerances and make it just a bit smoother, Make Toys already is able to do some of the crispest sculpting and production sculpting in third-party stuff that I've seen outside of Mastermind Creations. So,
I'm kind of curious where these shoulders and the chest piece are going to go in the trailer mode. Maybe that's also got some additional re-sculpting done to it.
But I'm not going to be surprised if the trailer looks nothing like the Battle Tanker trailer, like, given the pieces in here.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me either.
Yeah. But I mean, that's not the only thing. Like, one of them is this shattered glass Magnus thing, which is just a total, you know, Magnus fanwank deal. But there's also another version of it done for the not G2, but you know, the new shattered glass Prime from this year's BotCon. And I want to say that head sculpt on it is new as well. It doesn't look to me like the one from Battle Tanker, but it might just be the paint job.
I think it is.
Okay.
Looks close to it.
It's pretty, man.
Maybe. But he does also have the shoulder stacks and the chest piece Magnus has.
Yeah.
And the chain. Yeah, I'm curious to see what the trailer is going to look like, because, like you said, it might be totally different.
Like, this stuff looks super cool, and, I mean, the joke's already been said on Twitter, but it's funny how this stuff is suddenly making a whole bunch of people who didn't give a rat's flicked against the wall lump of dung about a couple of the BotCon toys suddenly go like, oh, damn, I wish I hadn't sold those, which is really funny, because
yeah.
BotCon doesn't like any of this stuff. But I think it looks gorgeous.
I'm glad that, what did they call it again?
Let's Mad Libs this out a little bit. What's it sound like?
The third party.
Make toys?
No. Like, what did the BotCon guys call it again?
Cheapening the hobby?
That's right.
How did you forget that?
I'm tired.
Ugh.
It's been a long week. But no, I'm glad, like, what they think is cheapening the hobby is helping drive their profits. So that's sweet irony a little bit there.
Oh, dear. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what the price points are going to be on these. It would be really nice if somehow this were able to have a funnel down effect of being at least a semi reuse of the mold, such that it could be a little bit less expensive. But all the new parts that we're seeing make me think it's probably going to be locked at the same price point, which is a bummer, because that was the Battle Tanker's biggest problem, was a very prohibitive price point for what you were getting.
Was it just over $100?
Just over $100. Shipping? It was like usually, I think, 105 to 110 in most places. And I mean, the parts count and the quality that you got pretty much evened out with the price. But given that it was just a trailer for a toy you already had to have, it made it harder to digest in this world of third-party toys being full-on standalone releases. And I think that the Battle Tanker will move more units if it could get somehow below 80. But I don't see how that could happen with all these new parts.
Well, see, for me, like, Battle Tanker, I know a lot of people are really hyped about it because, oh, you know, it made that cool trailer and it combined, and those who had a real hard-on for G2 and that mold got, like, this updated version. Now, you know, there was a bunch of people who liked it, but I don't know if it was as popular as, say, a City Commander armor set was.
It totally wasn't. I think that the people, like, I like it, but I think it ended up being a very niche item.
Exactly, and I'm just wondering now if this is going to be more niche than that.
That's a very good point.
Because, I mean, I'll buy this Magnus one. I don't have any interest in the Prime. And as it is, these are kind of rare and expensive toys that not many people have. And I have to wonder how many people would want to buy upgrade sets for BotCon figures. But if Shadow Scyther's anything to prove that they don't care...
There's only one thing which is a little bit risky, which is that the Battle Tanker, unless it's changed, does involve removing the screw and swapping in a new pelvis piece, and it also involves removing a head.
It's true.
And,
well, actually, if you look at the back of the Magnus head image, it looks like there's two screws there, so it may just screw on, like, the second version of the head.
Okay, because the thing that worries me is modifying those parts on a BotCon toy when... In my experience with the United mold, the screws that are needed to be messed with are so small that they're incredibly easy to disintegrate the screw head from. So,
yeah. Also, there was the people who were, you know, snapping off that neck post altogether.
I mean, that's fixed now with the screw-on head.
Exactly. So hopefully that won't have any issues with this one, but...
I would love it if they somehow figured out a way to not have to swap in a new pelvis piece, because that, I think, was one of the biggest weaknesses of the original.
It looks like you have to still, because this crotch piece that overlaps, it pins into that new pelvis piece that you add on, so...
Yeah. Also, this is the weird thing. I wish that there was some way, maybe as an option, to more readily integrate the crystal skull head on the blue and red one. only because that's the only like existing version of that head sculpt, and it would be neat to have as an option to work it into this new head sculpt. But
yeah,
that's only going to go so far.
Well, I guess you don't technically have to put the new head on. Like, if you still want to give it more of a,
he totally looks anime. He has a tiny little head on top of that huge, especially with all the new bulk put on it with this set. Like on the upper body, like it would look hilarious with the tiny head up there.
I'll save that till the end, and you can see what it looks like on mine.
Okay. Oh, so you're already committed then?
Yeah, obviously.
Oh, good man, good man. And yeah, I was really surprised to see this stuff pop up. Like I remember I saw the color mock-ups that popped up the other day, and I was like, well, I mean, yeah, obvious repaints to do, but seeing all these newly sculpted parts really surprised me. Like, it reminded me of that bit of surprise when the Shadow Commander was like, oh, by the way, he's got a new sword that comes with him as well, and the mold's been updated somewhat to be totally screw hole-less.
Yeah, like at most, I thought we'd maybe get a new head that would look more Magnus-y, but I wasn't expecting the shoulder stacks and the missiles and the chest piece. That's just cool.
Yeah, and
we'll see. There might be more.
I mean, it obviously was doing well because I saw some of the first replies were like, oh, why didn't they do it in G1 Magnus colors? Because no one stopped. Like, even I was like, oh, this would look way cool in G1 colors. And I'm like, wait, there is no G1 colored version of the base mold this goes on that looks like Ultra Magnus.
Asking for it because they do have the G2 laser rod version already made.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully one day.
Yeah, that's cool. Gog, Seth, do you have any thoughts on this this Make Toys update? Or are you just quietly sitting back and watching the Canadians flip out over Magnus things?
It's kind of funny that people that passed on that Cheddar Glass toy because they hate Cheddar Glass are now interested in getting it so they could use this third-party thing on it.
Mm-hmm.
I find that a little humorous. But, yeah, that's a figure I don't have. It's a figure that I'm not going to now backtrack to try to get back because I had sold off the one I did have just for a trailer add-on thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it looks fine, but it ain't for me.
Oh, it also looks like the sword's been remolded, like his super sword on the back.
Oh, yeah, the hilt is completely new. And I'm really liking what they did with the Shattered Glass Prime, where they have the chain wrapped around something holding the sword in place there. It looks super raw.
I think Seth should get it.
I do too.
I'm gonna get the purple one, I think, for sure.
But I mean, it looks beautiful. Like, there's no doubt about it. But, you know, like, I didn't have any interest in those figures, and it's like, you know, maybe, I mean, I'm curious to know what it looks like with other versions of the mold, if it's even passable, or if it's absolutely garish, or if it's garish in a pleasing way, or something. Like, I'll certainly be interested to see how it looks with other ones. I never got the original version of the Battle Tanker. I didn't have anything against it. Like, I thought it looked great. But I just never, you know, just one of those things where it's like,
do you still have a Shattered Glass Ultra Magnus?
No. I pre-sold that set before I even went to
Box. Yeah, that's what I thought they were called.
The first big question that I think is going to be asked and solved when this comes out is, how does it look when put on to Combat Hero Optimus Prime from that new 4-pack?
Yeah.
People have been suggesting that one.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, at the very least, it's good that those two figures are coming out. You know, they're both announced and available around the same time versus, like, those figures come out, that set comes out, no one wants it, and then armor is released afterwards, and now it's not even at retail, and everyone is scrambling on the aftermarket to try to find it.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever. It's great. I mean, for people who have that, you know, and kept it, especially for all you people out there, which I'm sure there's some of, that got the set and were ambivalent on it and just were like, I don't even know why I have this. I wish I would have sold it, you know, whatever. And for this set to come out, it's, you know, good for those people.
I am one of those people, because this is actually bringing me really right around on the Purple Optimus. Because, you know, back in 08, I thought that color scheme was really cool. And I was kind of, I don't know, something just felt really milquetoast about the one when we got this block on. I think it's just like, it just felt like I didn't see anything super special about it. It was just another Optimus painted like Shatterglass Optimus. And with this armor on him, it really, to me, gets across the notion of later on in a timeline, this is him having upgraded himself. And it still has that color scheme that I really like of the gray and the purple. So I'm like looking at the picture of the purple armor, which is great because I think that's the one people are less jazzed about. I'm actually starting to really dig this because I like the color purple.
If he has like a big warped slogan on the side, like "Till all are gone," but like a new one, would you want to buy it even more?
Yeah, probably. Like if okay. like, I mean, we said this about the Perseus thing, but the thing that I really like is when. Like and kind of, you know, for Schadenfreude reasons, but when the third parties not only make something that's directly referencing to, you know, the Bakon properties that pretty much are abhorrent to third party, but then they also, like, they get into it and they get into the canon of it as well and start, like, getting really enthusiastic for it because it's like they're so eager and they're so wanting to take part and the root of that fiction is, you know, the company root of that fiction is like, we don't like you. And they're like, yeah, but we like you, so too bad.
Yeah, part of me wants to know, like, what is going, what's being said about this, you know, behind closed doors. I don't care what the official TFCC Twitter response is going to be, because it's all going to be a bunch of BS that it does nothing but try to fall in line with all the crap that's been spewed over the last couple years anyway. But what I'm curious to know is, like, what is being said afterwards, because... I don't know. Part of me wants to think that, you know, Pete Sinclair is like, yeah, this will show all you people, like, haha. Even though in public he's gonna be like, we don't support this, yada yada yada, whatever. But so I don't know. I'm curious to know what's being said, not to the public, in regards to this figure myself.
To be a fly on the wall.
Yep. But it won't happen. So whatever.
Yeah. Still, it's this is some really cool news, and I'm looking forward to seeing some more details about it. Moving on from there, Seth, do you have a new picture pick?
And it is going to be a little different.
Mm-hmm.
At least a little different from the likes of me.
I don't like change.
No. Is it going to be first P?
No. One P? No, it's not even. It's not even toys. It's not toys. I'm not picking a toy picture at all. I'm pitching some artwork.
Naughty.
So, board member Optimus Prowl pointed me to a mosaic drawing that a board member named White Rabbit drew. And this was posted in the 231 thread also. So, a lot of people may have seen this already. But it was titled The Long Goodbye, features Huffer. And I thought it was pretty awesome. It's like Huffer's looking out across the desert, and it's a bunch of frames of the sun going down, and then Huffer turning away and saying, good riddance. Here, let me throw it in the our little chat here for the benefit of GM fan.
If TFW's not down.
Wow.
Mosaic is like
database error.
It's like the source of some of my most favorite and least favorite fan-made artwork in fiction. I love Mosaic.
Is TFW working for you guys?
Yeah, because I know how to use it right.
No, I'm getting a database error.
Well, right maybe now. You should stop using the database wrong.
Oh, okay. Screw me, then.
Yeah, I guess what? I'm having an error, too. I'm just giving you trouble.
Here, see if this link works.
Well, you know what? It was working until you tried to click that link.
Yeah.
Canada. So,
well, this one works.
Well,
he snickered. That's all you're going
to
get out of
it. We went through all this trouble to show you this comic.
Sorry, am I supposed to add some more commentary? All right, yeah, it's like Seth said, the sun setting. It's like six frames, and he says good riddance. Yeah, there's...
That's awesome.
There's that. It is.
I'll because Huffer that. Rules. Huffer don't care about the sun going down. They don't give a crap. He's Huffer.
Does this imply he's
got other stuff to do.
Yeah, but doesn't he realize it's just going to come back again tomorrow?
That's another day.
You don't care. Huffer don't care.
Is this like a daily event for him? Is he pre-programmed to say good riddance every day?
Maybe. I think you're reading too much into it.
It, actually, look at his Autobot logo. It's even got like a little upset smirk on it. I kind of like that.
Now you're turning around on it. That's good. That's good.
This is what I like about Seth. It makes me happy that he chose this.
Because it makes him Seth again?
Well, Seth is Seth. Mm-hmm. I'm saying this is what I like about Seth.
Yeah, Chris, maybe if you were on this podcast more often, you'd see what we're talking about.
I'd listen.
Not the same.
Jeremy doesn't call like me human more often. Relationships.
That's what my relationship is with a... Huh?
It's true, he doesn't.
Were you about to say ferret?
Ferret? I don't have anything to say about ferrets.
Centipedes?
Ooh.
Wow. That's some bold words coming from Kipling Station over there.
Speaking of centipedes, so when you were spazzing out last week, I kept picturing a millipede, which are way less gross looking.
No, I know the difference. Yeah, I've seen millipedes. And then,
yeah, but just for whatever reason in my head, I kept picturing a millipede and going like, oh, that's just like a armor-plated hot dog. And then people started posting pictures of centipedes. And I went, oh, yeah, those are centipedes. That's gross.
They're the ones with the spikes and the weird hairy stuff all over them.
Yeah, centipedes are
the things that look like fuzzy gummy worms that run across the friggin' carpet while you think you're there and alone. Yeah.
Yeah, that move at like 50 miles per hour out of the corner of your eye and make you think you're about to get your throat slit. That kind of stuff.
Yeah, millipedes are rad. Centipedes are nasty.
Centipedes are cool when they're really big and in a tank where you can like train them. Like, I want a pet centipede that I could ride, like a giant, just like horse-sized centipede. That would be awesome.
Aren't they poisonous?
Only if you screw with them, and I wouldn't screw with mine.
Well, how would you train them then?
We'd have a fight, so he'd learn to respect me, and then we'd become blood brothers.
Oh, okay.
And having a fight is different than screwing with something.
That's right.
Because a centipede will not poison you in a fight, only if you screw with it.
Yeah, if you're screwing with it, it's going to recognize that and go like, well, hey, fool, yeah. Guess what? You're poison. But if it's like, oh, it's a man's fight, you know, it'll drop the poison glands on the floor, and it's just going to go, you know, raises all its 15 fifths up, and, you know, you have it out.
Haven't you ever heard the famous quote, "Don't screw with me, bro," by Charles M. Centipede?
Yeah, I thought you were cultured.
Not in Canada.
Ugh. Now, I do this thing called importing things. And it fixes that hole in my availabilities. But yeah, TF Mosaic, man. I mean, I know it's officially over, but I hope that people keep doing it.
It's over?
Yeah.
Over.
The official thing that's called TF Mosaic ended, and they had a farewell mosaic, and then they were like, you can keep doing it if you want, but it's not real anymore. And I was like, yeah, well,
who are they to judge?
I don't know.
And made them Mosaic King of
TF Mosaic
town.
Is never dead if it's still in your heart.
It's just not canon anymore. I don't know.
It's not who canon. Are these it's people? Not on the wiki.
Mosaic I want to yell canon. At their faces directly. Who are they to decide?
I'll slam this glass down.
Who chose them? Who picked their name from a hat and said, you guys be the boss of this thing?
It wasn't Huffer.
No. Huffer would be I don't care.
I think this guy was actually one of the founders of the Mosaic, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, then awesome. He could do it all he wants, then, can't he?
Yep.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
This is canon.
Now it is.
Huffer says good riddance every day.
Let's rip off Giant Bomb and make Huffer Don't Care shirts.
Yeah, we'll make them orange on blue. Those are the Huffer colors.
Yeah.
No,
that's all I gotta say about it.
Moving on from there, Gog Dog, what's your new pick?
I actually have a couple, but I don't want to overlap you just in case, so maybe you want to go?
Okay. You probably weren't going to pick this. Mine is my own weird little thing. We've had more Transformers United EX Power Core toys come out, so we've got another translation of another chapter of the story, and we finally found out who the Race Master is, and this is the best thing. It's friggin' Rapido. The Autobot Jesus. Who peppers Spanish into his speech is now the Race Master.
Oh, see, now this tweet that I got from Random Factor earlier today makes sense, because I tweeted a picture of my... BotCon Rapido from a couple years ago wielding an Arms Micron because I thought that the ridiculous pink gecko back massager thing only made sense when in the presence of like a G2 era character. And he literally just responded to the picture with Race Master. And I'm like, don't know what you're talking about.
Quote, Chopper no Master, what could have happened to you? Did you get caught in a batalla that puts you in stasis? And then when facing Combat Master or, Onslaught, literally says, going at it head on isn't the only way to fight, hombre. And I wish that after that he'd just been like, I'm the goddamn Race Master. So, yeah, we know who the Race Master is. He's still, I think, my favorite United EX Power Core toy to date, because he also has a really cool color scheme, and he's called the friggin' Race Master. So, yeah.
Sounds awful.
Yeah.
At least it wasn't based off animated Blitzwing.
Look, Race Master.
It was German.
I also like this because...
Captain, explain the joke.
It's... It's another Rapido toy, and if I pick this up, I'll have all three Rapido toys. So, I might need to get Race Master. Which sucks, because he's the sports car 5-pack, which is legit, I think, my least favorite 5-pack out of all of Power Core. Hmm. So...
Are they still $80 a pop?
I mean, if you get them on discount, they're more like 50.
Yay.
Well, this is timing out for me, so I can't look at it, but does he have, like, the numbers painted on
here, I'll send you a...
Like all the other Rapidos?
No, that's why I think this was surprising. And he's not turquoise, either. He's very much just red and yellow. And I think, granted, that meant that the reveal that he's Rapido was a lot more surprising, but now that I know he's Rapido, I'm starting to resent the toy for not having, like, turquoise.
Maybe he's Shattered Glass Rapido.
No, it's been... United EX. United EX's Power Core guys are literally, like, in G1. Like, this is all happening during Operation Combination with friggin' Battle Gaia.
So this was before he was turquoise.
Yeah, you take your cleverness and just step over there for a second. Mr. Clever Man, Mr. Clever Boy. I'll show you some cleverness later on.
It's prequel Rapido.
I guess. Oh, yeah, the bot who would go on to become the platoon leader of the accelerators. Well, he should still be turquoise. Rapido is not Rapido unless he's got turquoise on him. So I might have to repaint mine slightly if I get it. I'm not saying I'm going to get it.
But that would ruin his Hot Rod homage.
Guess what? Rapido is now cooler than Hot Rod. Because Hot Rod didn't make it into United EX, but Rapido did. So what do you think of that, Daniel?
Yeah, now what you got?
That's right. But it's cool. I'm really looking forward to seeing the fiction on these Power Core dudes, because it's kind of unfortunate, but it's kind of cool that this is the most interesting Power Core has been outside of just the toy engineering, because now there's actual there's a story going on.
Story.
Yeah. And it's happening during G1, which is kind of cool. And the Power Core toys are at times sometimes not very poseable, but maybe that makes them a little bit G1-y. I don't know. And I like the idea that Operation Combination, with all of its Micromasters and its like two leaders just being like Defensor and Bruticus, was all just some kind of ruse while the real fight was going on.
Why did it have to be this mold?
Because he's the only car.
No, they had the race car. They even had a race car that would have been a perfect race.
He's an F1, though. He's an F1.
So what race is more than a F1 car?
Well, Rapido wasn't an F1.
Yeah, well, they didn't have to make it Rapido.
Yeah, they did. Hey, you know what? He's got those stupid, like, the Power Core Combiner connector ports. Those things are Rapido blue, aren't they? Kind of? No,
those are, like, Allspark blue.
Oh, look at you, Mr. Smart Guy. Well, maybe if I just make myself slightly colorblind, then it'll look right.
All right, let's get cracking on that.
Give me some hydrochloric acid and an eyedropper, and I'll get to work. I'm pretty sure I didn't take one of yours, Gog, so I'm curious now what your new pick is.
Yeah, you didn't.
I didn't think so.
you had a safe guess there. No, just two things I wanted to say briefly. We got pics of new official photos from Takara. I think some were some Generations figures, but also some more Prime Transformers Prime Arms Micron. And one of those was the Silas Breakdown version of that Takara Japanese exclusive Breakdown mold. There was a lot of speculation in the beginning because the only time we had seen any decent pictures of it, I think it was like gray prototype.
Yep, and a do-not photo.
Right, right, exactly. And that was months ago before the first version had even hit release yet. But several people with keen eyes were able to determine that, oh, the eye on that one's different. Maybe it's the eye patch version. But this is the first confirmation we got where it's not. Like, he actually has, like, the zombie eye from the show. So I think that's really cool. I would definitely go for if they do in the future release a fourth version of the mold where it's Breakdown with the eye patch, like, I would probably get that too. But as it stands, like, I think this toy is a really cool addition use of this mold. So.
And his Micron is a friggin' praying mantis.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, but it's neat.
I like it because it's a Decepticon Micron, so it's not just going to be a robot praying mantis. It's going to be a one-eyed robot praying mantis, which makes it a lot more awesome.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. The other thing, let's see, is the site working now? Did that picture load that I gave you?
Let me take a look, see if it's going to load.
The picture loaded.
Oh, it did?
Okay. But I still can't get the front page to load.
Well, stop breaking it.
Okay. Well, let me see if I can link directly to the pictures then for you guys.
Probably
have already seen them, most of you anyway. But the other thing that I wanted to briefly mention is it looks like Alternity is coming back.
Yeah.
They are releasing GTR versions of what looks like either is just some repaint, a redeco, or maybe even a somewhat of a retool of the original Convoy Nissan mold, but in race decor. And two additions to that will be a greenish version, which is GTR Maximus, and the other one is GTR Saber, which looks like it's going to have a new head with that's supposed to be Star Saber. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, this is... I'm a little conflicted on this because this is what I wanted because we got a couple of batches of Alternity repaints already. Like, we got that Bonsaitron from the Starscream. We got the a Galvatron. We got the Diatlas already from the Convoy mold. And then what was the fourth one that we got?
Goldbug.
Yeah. So, and like, we all talked about how awesome those would be, even though they are repaints, but even just a new head, how cool that would make it. And it turned out none of them had new heads. And to me, the only one that really worked was Bonsaitron. And I still really want that. I think that that's a brilliant repaint. And that weird, because the head that Starscream had was just really weird and very not Starscream. Like, it had four eyes and it was really strange. So repainting that into a different character, I think, works more than the others. And I think of the way that, the nature of that mold anyway, in the Bonsaitron colors, I thought just really worked well. Now, the only thing that held me back from not getting it is, I guess, whatever exclusive it was made the cost of that thing ridiculous. Like, it was like $100 or something for that, or more. So,
yeah, it was like, I think the cheapest I saw it for was $80, but out of China, so the shipping was going to end up being a bit pricey.
Yeah, it wasn't worth it, but I still would love to get my hands on that one day if I can find it more affordable or at a convention or something. These are interesting to me because, like, I like the fact that Takara is doing these kind of off-the-wall character choices of characters that normally wouldn't be really getting toys, like Star Saber of all people. So I guess to me it's gonna. I want to see what this looks like in hand. And of course the price, but I'm all for grabbing me a weird transforming version of Star Saber, even though it's a car. But if he does indeed come with a new head and it looks good, I could see myself grabbing this. And I'm curious to know too, because like the car that they're picturing that these are based off of while it's a Nissan, it's a Rison, it's a Nissan road car, like a street an actual race car. So they're showing that in the promotional material, but like the picture that they're showing for, you know, the robot mode is just straight up the original Alternity Convoy in, you know, repainted. So I don't know if that's a mock-up or what yet. I guess I'm just not really getting all the details on this yet. But yeah, I'm kind of curious to see how this turns out, because
we actually almost brought this up in 222, and then I made the executive decision that if they're going to show these toys 2 days after we record, we should wait till we've at least seen more content.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think this is a really odd little idea that I'm not against, but making them all the Convoy mold, possibly with maybe one or two new parts or a new head here or there, is okay, but if they do more than these three, it's going to wear thin so fast. Like, I mean, the only other one I'm really interested in seeing was that Toxitron that came up in that original news post, only because that would be crazy looking. I don't know if this is the right thing to do with Alternity, but doing a Star Saber out of it is possibly the most interesting thing they could do.
Right, and like that, and that's why I'm conflicted, because it's like in both of these rounds of Alternity repaints, they had some great ideas, but it's like they took some partially good ideas and mixed it with some bad ones for the first batch. Like, let's do some really cool repaints and just leave the original heads on there that look nothing like the characters. And in this one, it's like, let's actually do new heads possibly, but let's just use the same mold for every one. And, like, if you combine this idea with the previous one, I think you have some toys that people would really be going after.
Yeah.
Imagine, an original Galvatron head, you know, and the car in purple or something.
Yeah, that mold with that Galvatron cool. head would be awesome. That's a great mold.
Right, but. And imagine the Diatlas. Imagine a Diatlas head on that in those colors.
Like, yeah.
I would have pre-ordered that, and I would probably have owned that and have already talked about it if it's even out. I'm pretty sure that's out.
Yeah, yeah, they're all in.
Yeah. So, you know, so it's just like they're alternate. It's like they keep dipping their toes into doing something really exciting, but giving people enough of a reason to just opt out of it completely, and it's kind of a shame.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think what I want to see is how that Star Saber turns out, because that's going to be the real proof of concept of everything combined, because that's the one toy with the new head in a way that kind of works. And then, you know, that'll be a place, I think, to make some good judgment calls. But who knows if this is even going to go beyond these three toys. Like, Alternative just showing up again out of nowhere makes it kind of hard to predict exactly. Like, this is the second time it's just shown up again out of nowhere. So who knows what they're going to do.
Is it official that it's part of the Alternative line? Because
fiction-wise, no. They're just using Super GT. That's the name.
That's so.
And Banzaitron and Goldbug and those other guys, as far as I know, I don't think they came with new fiction. I think they were just repaints with instruction books. So I think the Alternity story definitively ended with Thundercracker's fiction. So you know, as far as fiction, I'm not looking for anything new now. But I hope there is a fiction to go with Super GT. Like, it would be cool if they write something. But I don't know. We'll see.
It'd be cool if that big spoiler turned into a sword.
That would be very cool.
Because at least Star Saber would have a sword.
Probably won't happen. You know what? If Star Saber used the Megatron mold, he would look like a samurai and have two swords. Darn.
That'd be cool. I don't know. They look alright. Saves me money, because originally the rumor was one of them was Ultra Magnus.
Yeah. You'll see. You'll see. They already did an Ultra Magnus.
Ultra Magnus.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Yeah. No. Well, yeah, I guess they did. I mean, it was just the white primary. But the rumor was it was going to be, like, with the new head, too. I don't know.
I like how he just made the argument that Ultra Magnus is, like, a unique character in G1 fiction.
It is. It is. It's a typo that I love.
So what kind of character was Ultra Magnus?
I don't know. I didn't even read the fiction. I didn't get the comic with mine, actually. I was supposed to get the comic with mine, but I didn't.
Well, you should flip the table over. Get what is yours.
I should raise more hell.
You keep what you kill.
You should flip a table over like a IDW Rewind.
He flips tables?
Well, probably. If it came up like that just now.
I don't know. I haven't read a Transformers comic in like 2 years.
Well, you're not invited to book club.
Aw. You guys still do that?
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll...
Maybe you should do that instead of prime time.
We finish what we start. Here on WTF and TFW. Thank you. We finish what we start.
Book club.
We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Just quick little button on New Pick Picks. I will just mention briefly, because I mean everyone knows about it now, but Randall Ng of NG Smoove did a Gangnam video using his CG models. It's in my opinion the end of the Gangnam style thing in pop culture.
you think that?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, it is the button. Anything afterwards needs to try something else, because that's
he's going
to
be downtown backlash now.
Yeah,
now is the time of the backlash, and I'm finding the backlash way more annoying than all the references to it.
Yeah, the backlash has started. I think that Randall Ng's video, to me, that's the button on it, because that's the high quality parody that I've seen. And to me, I think he buttoned it. He did it first. It's on Topless Robot. Randall Ng won that game. So,
could you believe? I still have yet to even see the video.
This is what bums me out about it, is Ryder Pathos showed me the video saying, hey, look, a Korean music video director made a video about your life, because in the video the dude looks kind of like me. And I was like, that's funny, I like this video now. And so for like a week and a half, that video was like my little joke that I could show people and go like, hey, look, it's a video about me. And then like suddenly, not only is Psy on the Ellen Show, but like he now has like the first K-pop song to ever make it outside of Asia. And so I'm incredibly happy for him, but also really bummed out, because now my private little joke has turned into a total mainstream horse jumper. And
you can meet him in a week.
Really?
Yeah, he's going to be in Toronto on the 30th.
Can we invite him to the AFX?
Yeah.
Get him a table next to all the pro wrestlers.
Stay an extra 2 weeks.
I want to see Psy hanging out with the Bushwhackers. Teaching them the Gangnam dance. The thing that I really want to bring up about Randall Ng's video, and it's to me one of the best parts of it, because I have a very strange taste, is that some of his models are still based on Alternator and Binaltech designs. So you can tell he didn't just apply one animation to everybody, because all the guys from Binaltech who have enormously wide chests can't actually reach their wrists together to do the horse jump dance. And so they're like trying like mad to do the dance, even though their arms can't quite reach. And to me, that made the video like a lot more fun to watch.
So take that song,
mm-hmm.
replace the hey and the hey sexy lady part with the Bushwhackers going hey. You have a dope remix.
Oh man. You know what people do need to stop doing, though, is taking any two-syllable word and applying it to Gangnam Style. Because Gundam Style did that first. It did that before the song was even popular, and it finished that. So, move along.
What are people doing?
I've been kind of, like, just seeing them and forgetting about them.
Kuma Style!
Yeah. Seeing them and forgetting about them. But I saw one... Oh, I can't. I forgot about it already. It was some Chinese thing. I don't know. I can't remember. Anyway,
hey, chicken egg roll, like that.
Maybe.
Is that a Chinese thing?
Apparently, it is now. Why you all think that we all eat chicken egg roll?
Hey, Forbidden City. Oh, oh.
People love
China style.
Now we're starting to hit the wall. We're hitting the wall. Anyway, congrats to Randall Ng for getting that video out and getting a ton of attention on it. He's also had some truly terrible comments. But
how many hits has that thing got now?
A lot. When it hit Topless Robot, not just Topless Robot, but it hit quite a spike, and he had some great Facebook posts going like, wow, now I know what some of the worst comments on YouTube are like. Now I know what it's like to be in that position. And I was like, yep. You probably got some terrible comments on that. But it's a cool video. Check it out. I mean, it is probably going to become the dancing Soundwave video of 2012. before we know it. But for now,
worldwide,
almost 200,000 views.
Yeah, it's been up for less than a week, if I recall correctly,
with only 57 dislikes.
Mm-hmm. So high fives to Randall Ng, dude's a bro. Moving on from there. Oh yeah, okay. So, Chris, why don't you tell me all about the Action Figure Expo and the TFCon anniversary party that you've been planning for the last year?
That sounds like a great idea, Christopher. We should do that right now.
Is that going to be the party at the Sheraton Parkway Hotel in Richmond Hill, Ontario?
Yes, it will. You will meet such exciting staff members like myself, Proto Man, and many others.
Proto Man? Will GM Fan be there too?
Possibly.
Will Proto Man bring his Skylanders?
Will Cheers Ian be there?
Yes, Ian will be there.
Will Cheers Ian be there?
I wanted to see how long it would take for him to listen to this and yell, "Say my name!" But you ruined that.
Well, Gog already said his name.
I know, that's why it was ruined, because he was just going to be waiting to hear his name, and I wasn't going to say it, and then he'd yell at me.
XD.
GM Fan likes to hear Cheers Ian yell, "Say my name, Adam."
I'm just going to edit out every single instance of his name in this segment.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ian. I had to edit that one, too.
No, it's all good. Now, Colin came up with this spur-of-the-moment idea to have a TFCon 10th actual anniversary meet and greet at the Sheraton Hotel, where we're holding AFX the night before the show. So if you're in the area or you're staying at the hotel, stop in, have a few drinks. I'm hoping I'll be there. I know Ian and Daniel will be. And
I hope I'll be there.
You'll be there.
Okay.
You'll figure out a way.
I'll find a way. Hey, so Action Figure Expo is a one-day thing. What wrestlers do you have?
I don't even know if we have a wrestler this year. Usually it's somebody else who brings it in, so even Colin doesn't usually know until like a week or two before
This isn't a real AFX if there's no wrestler. The 501st is here. The Ontario Ghostbusters are coming.
You want to get Bret Hart's brother again or cousin? Didn't we get him at one of our shows?
Like Gerald Hart?
That dude's got hella brothers. I'm sure there's a brother you could get.
Yeah, like
there's so many of those dudes. They're crazy.
I want to know who the Ontario Ghostbusters are.
They were at TFCon.
I don't remember them.
They had like the big Stay Puft Marshmallow Man on the Sunday.
I spent the Sunday wandering around with a cape hosting costume contests.
Not one Ghostbuster showed up to that?
No! Not one Ghostbuster showed up to the costume, at least as far as I remember. I just remember the Bus Man, and I remember the Hulk Man, and someone else. I didn't see any Ghostbusters.
We were really hungover Sunday, weren't we?
I wasn't. I was wearing a cape and hosting costume contests.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was no room parties late at night.
Well, there were room parties. I wasn't hungover. I felt fine. I don't know about you.
I was destroyed Sunday morning.
Little fella.
I want to make him pretty. No, it's going to be a good time. So if you're in the area, like I said, do check it out. Details, once they're up and working, are on the front page.
They're right.
And TFW 2005.
Looking at them right now. Join
working
us.
Again?
Nope, I had it preloaded. November 10th at the Sheraton Parkway Hotel at the Spirits Bar and Lounge at 9 p.m. Enjoy a casual evening with other collectors. Those then stop by the TFCon table at the 9th Annual Canadian Action Figure Expo for a very special giveaway. How special?
We have a giveaway? Cool.
Ugh. You think, okay, quick prediction. Masterpiece Lambor Sideswipe just came out today in Hong Kong and parts of Japan. Do you think that that's going to be the toy of AFX that everyone's trying to buy?
Possibly. I mean, I'm sure he'll be there. I mean, they got more than enough time to get enough stock to sell him at the show. hot item. Well, that's I guess it is the hottest.
Gonna be. Like that
is the hottest item, I guess, right yeah. now.
Is that?
Well, that and I guess the MP10, the North American one right now.
Right, North American masterpieces. Thundercracker probably as well. And
Thundercracker.
Probably any Viacons. In fact, any deluxe Prime toys will probably sell like hotcakes if they aren't from Wave 1.
Right now, if it's anything that's not Wave 1, it'll probably sell.
Room full of Canadians will buy anything Prime Deluxe that's from Wave 2 or onwards, because we never got it.
Also, didn't the new first editions that are being released in the States out now?
Yeah, but the only one we care about from that would be Zombie Cliff and the Viacon. I need that Viacon, because apparently the colors are slightly different.
They are.
So I need 3 of it.
Yes, you do.
God damn it.
Yeah, hopefully they'll be there. I know a lot of our dealers do runs down to the U.S., so maybe they found something in their travels, or maybe they already shipped cases from their suppliers. So
Because I can't just get one of that Viacon if he's a unique color, because then he'll be sticking it. I need 3, so he's a squad.
You know, if you buy it in bulk, you might get a discount.
What if I buy 3?
Yeah.
All right, I'll buy 3. Give me them right now.
Go haggle a dealer.
You're a dealer now. I'm haggling you.
I'm selling like 5 things.
They sell any toys around Kipling Station?
Yeah. Yeah,
sure. You don't want to know what kind of toys they sell around Kipling Station. A lot of that stuff hasn't been cleaned, hasn't been sterilized. Got brown spots, and that ain't rust. Let me tell you something. So AFX should be a good time. I know we've got, aside from the Canadians, I know we've got a couple American dudes showing up there as well. And I'm looking forward to hanging out. I'll be filming all day on the Sunday. I'm going to do what I did last year. I'm going to start filming from setup.
Would you happen to have any footage from last year?
Yeah, I do. Why do you ask?
No, I'm just wondering.
Yeah, got tons of it.
Yeah?
Yep. All mine.
There was some good footage there. I remember that footage.
Yeah, I used some of the footage of your crotch in a project at school.
Yes, you did. I remember that. That was a highlight of my year.
I was wandering around doing dolly zooms on everything, including GM Fan 101's pelvis.
Mm-hmm. And I have issues.
Yep, you do. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I look forward to that. Moving on from there, I mean, the only other thing to talk about with AFX is after it's happened. Say what happened. Let's do a voicemail, guys. I've got some I got a couple of voicemails here. I got one. Ooh. Okay, this is exciting. I got a voicemail from Name Unknown.
How does this work? I'm curious now. Do you just play the audio and then you just splice it in later?
I bet you'd like to know for your little Canadian slag podcast to steal our idea.
Yeah, because
we
have listeners.
Oh, dear. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get the voicemail playing magically right now.
Hello. Danielus and Omegas and Dog Dog and Seth. I hope Seth is there.
Yes.
You're awesome. And I think you should run it instead of Evangelist.
Blam.
Wow.
Let's try that for one episode. But my main question is if you could have Unicron played by James Earl Jones. Would you guys want that to happen? Or would you not sing as he would sound? Or would you not sing as he would sound like Unicron Vader or Darth Kron? Okay, I love you, Seth. You have no one else to love. Got that? Click.
That's ominous.
Well, that's an honor.
Okay, it's two things. He completely left Aaron out. Like when he was saying hi to everybody, he left Aaron out. So that sucks for Aaron. And I'm a little bit scared now. I'm gonna have to lock my doors and windows.
Sound a little bashful there.
Just so everyone, you know, we've said this before. I don't pre-screen these voicemails at all myself. I'm given some and I play them. So that was interesting.
That's certainly something.
The best part is that's from caller unknown. We have no name attached to that.
I wonder why.
In fact, I don't want to know who that was because it makes it more fun to not know who that was. But Darth Kron, James Earl Jones as Unicron, yay or nay? I say yay because James Earl Jones. Why not? He could be like Thulsa. You know what you should have said? You should have said Thulsa Kron or Unidoom. That would have been some better portmanteau, in my opinion. Seth, this question brought you up a couple times. How do you feel about James Earl Jones as Unicron?
I'm sure he would do a fine job, but it would also be cool to have Tom Hardy do the voice.
That would be fun.
I'm going to eat your planet.
Moon bases, brother.
Isn't that just Saturday Night Live, Sean Connery?
You can't see what I'm doing here, but I'm doing that thing where I'm like, ah.
Don't forget,
the Energon rises.
Don't forget, Seth, you're not allowed to love anyone else.
You're taking, click.
You're click. Taken now. Just let you know.
That's okay, cool. Seth likes Marvel human problem for somebody else.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
I'm trying desperately to turn this into a Bane joke.
Hey!
It's not working out.
Gog. James Earl Jones is Unicron. That's topical.
In theory, it sounds great. The problem is I'm kind of tired of celebrities voicing Transformers characters because that means they never get used again and the character can't show up in the show again because, the voice actor ain't around anymore, has moved on to bigger and better things. So I would rather just stick it with the career voice actor who does a great job and is available in case they decide they want to use a character again after the 5-episode arc, because that would be kind of cool. So, yeah, as cool as it would be for James Earl Jones, unless he's around 100% of the time and dedicated to reprising his role when they need him to and not just when he can, then sure, but otherwise...
How expensive can James Earl Jones be?
He gets to say, I'm Darth Vader, and then charge you whatever he wants. Just how it is. Then you haggle down from there. But James Earl Jones has one of the best starting points for negotiating pay ever. Because his starting block quote is, hi, I'm James Earl Jones. I am the voice of Darth Vader. I want this much money. Then what do you say exactly?
Then you say, we're just going to hire the Chad Vader guy. Cause
he's yeah, exactly.
We'll get Seth Buzzard 1.
I wear my boots. Hey, Chris, GM fan, you are not allowed to love anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got.
Okay.
What do you think about James Earl Jones?
Nah.
Wow. Wow. Decades.
I'd rather have Seth do the voice.
A decade-long, decade-spanning career, and all you got is nah.
Nah. I don't see it.
Let's get Chad Vader to do Bane voice. Yes,
that's three layers too deep right now. I don't have enough Triscuits for that.
I am your father, brother.
Ow.
You didn't put it. You got it. No, do it again, but more planet eating. Go.
More planet eating.
More planet eating.
This is Chad Vader doing Bane doing Unicron.
Can I ask?
The Unicron.
No, you can't
totally
ask.
Glossed over.
Let it happen.
Come on, natural.
I will eat Alderaan, brother.
Ah!
Okay.
Bravo. Can I ask the listener a question?
Sure.
If he comes forward, I want him to tell everybody if he wants Seth to play Unicron. That way we'll know who it is.
Oh, dear. I want Gog to direct an actual actor with the direction of be more planet eating. Because I want to see how an actor tries to interpret that.
And go.
And you'll know if they're a Transformers fan because they just snap into their quickest Orson Welles impersonation. And then you're like, hey, guess what? We could hire Maurice LaMarche, so get out.
Oh, where's Wally Burr when you need him?
Probably in the States.
Being crazy.
That's right. So thanks for that voicemail, caller unknown. We also have a written listener question from Pacifist Prime. It's a doozy. He says, salutations upon you fine gents, big fan of the show, and here now for a second time to ask you a question of exceeding windbaggery in the hopes that your laser-like incisive mind shall lay us some wisdom down. In a recent episode, I heard you discussing the strengths of a recent U.S.-produced Transformers cartoons, and a particular aspect you made mention of was a small cast of characters in both Animated and Prime. I completely agree with your analysis that having a leaner, more contained cast of characters in the bloated rosters of G1 and Unicron Trilogy leads to much better character development and narrative cohesion. Thus, I would naturally add Beast Wars to the mix of this apparent new truism that the best TF shows have all had small casts, the exception being the movieverse, at least initially, and only if you don't count humans. But although I love these shows, something conversely bugs me about them. It's the fact that having such small factions essentially mirror superhero teams is, well, kind of belies the fact this is supposed to be a war. Although it is rarely executed well at the time, one of the things I really dug about G1 is I didn't feel has been captured since then is the sense that this is an all-out civil war involving the majority of an entire sentient race. Yet while the full-on Cybertronian battlefield during the height of the war has been never extensively portrayed in any major fiction short of gameplay, I feel it is an essential part of the premise. And yet even most of G1 had a certain degree of isolation and distance from both time and location of the main conflict due to their hibernation on Earth. The quote-unquote shipwreck scenario also works well in Beast Wars and Animated to create a plausible limitation on the number of characters present, whereas I always found it fairly vague in Prime and Movieverse as to why both faction leaders have such tiny teams at their commands. Anyway, Ellipses, I suppose my question was this, colon, would you concur that despite being excellent shows in their own right, Beast Wars Animated and Prime small cast nevertheless detract from the credible presentation of Transformers conflict being a full-scale war? And if you do, do you have any thoughts on how a hypothetical new Transformers show could narratively balance depicting a more extensive theater of war whilst still maintaining tight character focus? My only notions would be either a quote-unquote Autobot High Command scenario that would involve Zemus Prime and his senior staff a la Star Trek, but might be too removed from the front, or a show that focuses on a single combat unit, which I guess would inevitably be the Wreckers, but this would sideline the faction leaders a bit. Thoughts, gentlemen's? Click.
I didn't catch that. Could you say that again?
GM fan, 101, what's your answer to the question?
There was a question in there.
Yeah. Weren't you listening?
Let's see where it is.
You're not allowed small to love anyone else.
My God. Detract from a credible presentation of... Oh, okay. So does the small cast detract from the overall portrait of the war that they're trying to paint?
If you're going to get a little bit deconstructive of the question, I suppose, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Well, would you like to pass and let somebody that was paying attention answer and then try to gleam what was going on because you're hibernating or whatever Canadians do?
I'm sorry, I went into a coma after the third paragraph. No, like, he has a point. Like, when it is these small-scale things, then it really doesn't show the all-encompassing war. Because, I mean, even in, like, the novelization, the war is going on in Cybertron while Optimus and Megatron are going off in the cosmos looking for artifacts of the ancient primes. So, I mean, yeah, it's just a little glimpse into the overall war, but here you have the two leaders, so that's why they focus in on that. I mean, even when Wheeljack comes in Prime, he has these talks about how, oh yeah, the other Wreckers are still out there, they're still fighting, and that's when he disappeared and he came back. So, they're not going to be able to show everything, because there's probably thousands of Autobots and Decepticons, just like there are toys. So they can't focus on this many stories, but the one fiction that I can say is capturing it quite well right now looks like IDW, because they do have a lot of these characters in multiple stories spread amongst the cosmos, if you will. And from what I've been hearing too, a lot of people have just been saying that the fiction for that has just been some of the most groundbreaking stuff for Transformers in years, where you have pacifists, you have Cybertronians ripping out their T-Cogs because they don't even want to be a Transformer anymore. So there's some compelling side stories there as well that even go outside of this civil war and such. So, in conclusion, yeah, I mean, they're not going to focus on the civil war when it's going to be a small cast, because you really can't, because it's not really a war. It's a battle at best.
All right. Seth, what about you? How do you feel about the Theater of War's portrayal?
Well, we've talked in the past about how we would like to see a show or something that didn't have Optimus and Megatron in the lead. And, you know, like they suggested, the idea of having the war raging on Cybertron, and that's where Optimus and Megatron are leading their armies, and the story could follow like a smaller group, like he suggested the Wreckers. I think that kind of plays into something we had been talking that, or that thing we had been talking about before, of like, it could be cool to kind of, you could have like this smaller team going off and doing stuff, or maybe they're stationed on Earth and it cuts back to the big war, and you could have some scenes with Prime and Megatron that way, so you're not completely cutting those characters out. But
no, you know what this would be reminiscent of then, with your idea? No?
You gotta finish up that ellipsis.
No, I was waiting for Seth to see if he knew where I was going with this.
I never know where you're going with anything.
Of course not. No, it's like Clone Wars then, if that's what you want. Like,
I didn't watch Clone Wars, so...
Oh, okay. No, like Clone Wars is, like you're saying, they kind of follow, you know, certain Jedis or certain platoons of clone troopers, and they tell like these little pockets of stories here and there. Like and I think actually that's probably our best bet of showing the overall war idea.
Yeah, well, I wasn't necessarily thinking of following different groups, but I mean, that would be interesting too, because then you can have more characters without clogging up the show with too many characters at once. And then, like, all the more toys you could sell, because you could have all these excuses to have all these characters. But, like, even if it was just, like, the show focuses on this squad of five dudes and they're stationed on Earth, sort of a thing. I think it could just be an interesting way to break up the formula. But like, when you're talking about the cartoon... I mean, anytime, like, any version of the TV shows, like G1 to Beast Wars to Prime to whatever, you put any real thought into what's going on, the whole thing just starts falling apart, because it's not really meant to be taken that seriously.
All right. Gog, what about your perspective on the scale of war in storytelling in Transformers?
Oh, well, I don't know if I necessarily agree with his take on animated, because, well, certainly I think animated started off that way, and it definitely had the whole shipwreck thing, kind of like Beast Wars, where they crash and they're stranded there. But then again, you know, a lot of Transformers shows have done that. Even G1 did in the beginning, and certainly, I mean, as the show went on, they established the space bridge stuff, and they were able to go back and forth between Cybertron and Earth, but that's a pretty common scenario in
Transformers. Wasn't that also Armada's opening?
I don't know. I never watched Armada. I think animated started that way, but I think animated is also a good example of how it diverged, because like as the show went on, we got lots more characters. And we got glimpses, like, not a lot, but I think that's also due in part to animated's early demise. But, like, we were getting glimpses of, like, you know, Stryker's team versus, like, Team Char versus Team Rodimus. Like, that fighting, like, they were always cutting back to Cybertron, and there was just tons and tons upon tons of little cameos in the background. They had parade scenes where you saw all sorts of bots, and you could pick them out by their design, like who they were, and you really got a sense that Cybertron and animated was just populated. You saw civilians, people that were actively serving in the military. You got to see the civilian government interact with the military government, with Alpha Trion.
Animated was during peacetime too, technically.
Right, and that's also a different take. But what I'm saying is too, you got. And that's certainly true. That, like, with animated, it was post-war. They had already had the Great War, and no one really knew that the Decepticons were up to anything except for the people on Earth.
But that scenario didn't last long. I mean, it lasted the first season or two, but after that, animated was really opening up into a global thing where there were infiltrators in the government on Cybertron. The Magnus, who is in charge of pretty much the entire military branch of Autobot ruled Cybertron, had an assassination attempt on him. He was left in comatose. Things were really ramping up to some serious stuff. And so I think that animated was the best of both worlds, where it really started off with a small cast, but as it went on, it really, really, really started opening up. And I think we would have seen even more of that and more characters introduced and that sort of thing, while still keeping the main cast basically the main cast. But I mean, certainly as animated went on, I think that it expanded that quite a bit. Whereas with Prime, and that has been a complaint with me from Prime, because like they could have explained it away a little better, but they really do try to emphasize the point that there's still Autobots and Decepticons out there just having war, and Prime, who seems to be the leader, the military leader of the Autobots, he is the only Prime, apparently. I mean, it seems to me in this universe there can only be one Prime, and he's in charge. That, you know, and that, like, it was just really odd for me when Wheeljack shows up for the first time, and, you know, they're like, "We need you here." And Wheeljack's like, "Ah, I don't care." Like, you know, he just leaves. And of course, I mean, that was a convenient way to explain the fact of why Wheeljack was gonna leave and would be back eventually, because of course we're gonna see him. But you know, like, this whole, like, there's a battle out there, and like what GM Fan said, like, certainly what he said was true about Prime focusing on the leaders, but like with the whole thing with Smokescreen, being like, you get a little brief history for him where it says that he was captured and taken aboard a Decepticon ship. So there are Decepticons out there flying around, like, with warships and stuff like that, but it seems really anticlimactic that this tiny battle of just five characters on each team are ruling it out, and they keep trying to emphasize the point that there is a war still going on out there to some degree, but you don't see any of it. And of course, that is a limitation to the technology, and that's one strength that animated had over Prime, in that, like, if the writing team decided, let's throw in 15 badass homages in this parade scene, we can do whatever the hell we want. Prime can't do that. They can't even model Raph's mom. Like, it's just like, you can see her arm stick through the door. And it's understandable, and it's not something that you can blame the animation team for not bringing in new characters every other episode, because it's feasibly and financially impossible. But while I think the animation in Prime is gorgeous, the show does suffer a lot for that, so it's bittersweet in many ways. But I mean, after Prime is over, whenever that's going to be, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing it kind of ping pong back over to hand drawn animation again, so that's a limitation that we don't have to live with for the next three seasons of Transformers television fiction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, a lot of good points made. I definitely agree that animated was far more of a transitory story than just like a castaway group for the entirety of its run, especially by season three. That's where the world really, I think, just opened up. My own take on the question is that I think that a small group still gets across the idea of a theater of war, provided that you get that cutaway moment where you can see the full scale of the war. Because a story that has, like, the entire full-scale war going on in the forefront is, to me, going to make that full-scale war lose what's special and amazing about it pretty fast. Whereas I think it just generally, storytelling-wise, would be more interesting to stay focused on a small group of characters and then, for a big moment or a season finale or a very key episode, cut back to this much greater struggle and just give you this glimpse of it. And, you know, maybe make a few episodes about it, but don't make that the whole show, because it will eventually make that not be special, and it'll I think wear out its welcome extremely fast, having just a titanic conflict going on at all times.
And that was another strength that Animated had too, where, I mean, yeah, Megatron was the leader of the Decepticons, but the Decepticons were also kind of scattered and broken, but the Prime that we had in that universe wasn't the leader. So it made so much more sense of Optimus Prime's group of Autobots being stranded on Earth, and how the rest of the Autobot society or structure isn't even particularly interested in what they're doing, because it's just they're like a group of maintenance bots. And yeah, if they were lost, and it sucks, I'm sure somebody looked for them, but it's not like their one and only Prime was lost and they have to search for the Matrix or something like that. It's just like, well, yeah, they were lost, and hopefully one day they'll show up, but we never heard anything from them, and life goes on.
Yeah, we lost Optimus Prime, but we've got like 30 other Primes.
Exactly. So whereas with Prime, it is literally the two leaders of each faction, and they seem completely disinterested in the rest of the battles that are going on out there. It's like Wheeljack makes mention of it to Prime, and he's just like, yeah, I understand you got things to do. All right, I ain't going to make you stay here. Go out. You know, there's a war. I'm probably in charge of it, but, you know, I'm not even going to really ask. Just go on. I got things to do here. Like, it makes those moments seem a little unrealistic, I think, whereas the situation that Animated had overall was a lot more believable. And then once the Decepticon presence was proven in Animated, because nobody really believed them, because they were just a bunch of reject maintenance bots, that's when the scale really did get upped, and you started seeing the bigger military picture and the wheels start turning, and it was all good stuff.
All right. I hope that answered your question, a pacifist Prime. I mean, variance to me is the most important thing. Like, to, as was mentioned, a ping-ponging, not just of animation styles, but of the scope or the focus of a series, I think is important to keep stuff fresh, which is, you know, the ongoing debate of how to keep the franchise going is to keep it as fresh as possible. So yeah, I mean, we'll see what the next show does. We'll see what Beast Hunters does, even. But yeah, thank you for the question. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with what we got this week to close up the show. And by close up, I certainly don't mean that's going to be like the last half hour, because it's never the last half hour, is it? Just never is. Never. Especially with this friggin' Canadian showing up here. We'll be talking about all of his Wave 1 Deluxes he got the other week.
It's all my fault.
Can't believe
it. One deluxes.
You know, all your $7 off Bumblebees.
Oh, yeah.
All your Bumblebee style toys.
Yeah, those are fantastic. The 3-pack, that's $50 that I bought.
Yep. All, you bought two of them, even.
Jeremy Seth, did you see those?
See what?
In Canada, we have a 3-pack.
Oh, no. Three-pack? Yeah. 3-pack of what?
3-pack of all 3 Dark of the Moon Bumblebees.
That's great.
Are you serious?
No. Yeah.
Look.
I was waiting for the punchline.
No. What punchline?
No. It's real.
Oh. Okay. So they're literally just shrink wrapped together. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Gotcha.
The whole Bumblebee collection. For Dark of the Moon.
And it can be yours for the great price of $50 before
they tax.
Yeah,
they should have put like a wrapper around it that said, this is what's wrong with the franchise entertainment pack.
Well, I can't accept what's wrong with the franchise when Cyberfire Bumblebee is part of it. That's the saving grace. Mm-hmm. Everyone should buy that 3-pack to get their Cyberfire Bumblebee, and then you can do your review comparison to the other two Bumblebees.
If people bought Cyberfire Bumblebee, he wouldn't be in this pack.
Well, yeah, and that's the problem. People should have been buying him. That was the good Bumblebee toy.
Just under $60 after tax, he can be yours.
Why is it priced at $50? What store is doing this?
Canadian Tire.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. I was going to say, like, if this is Walmart, I'd be throwing a brick at the wall.
But if it's Canadian Tire, it's fine.
Because Canadian Tire don't even know what toys are, so they're fine. Anyway.
They do once a year.
We'll be back in a sec. Catch you in a moment.
This is just the beginning. I will hunt down the traitor Shockwave and take him offline for what he did to Ultra Magnus. And the same goes for any Decepticon that crosses my path. If you accept me as your new Magnus.
Hey, ladies and gents, we're back with what we got this week. Let's start off with our special little guest, our little boy, GMFan101. I want you to tell me about what you got this week.
Aren't I taller than you?
My special little boy, tell me what you got this week.
Well, this guy wasn't this week. I got Geo Swerve. He's cool.
You got like a Veo Swerve.
I don't understand.
I thought you said a Veo Swerve. I was gonna be like, that's
a Veo Swerve.
I was like, yeah, no. I know you have that.
Yeah, no, I only a few. But no, the GDO Swerve's pretty cool because I don't have a Swerve in my collection yet, so I thought I'd get one. And I don't understand the Cuphead that iGear wants to do for him because his normal head is actually kind of cool and gives him some character and. Why you want a red cup would it be beyond me?
Because when they posted that, at least three people said, oh, I want to get that head for my Swerve. So that's why.
Well, I guess if the mold's already made and you've got the red plastic lying around, sure, why not? And other purchase recently, Masterpiece Thundercracker. Yes. Have you guys gone in depth with him yet?
I don't remember. Because I know that he's been bought, but I remember when Aaron got him, he didn't actually open him. So it was a very short review of he's in the box.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, he's the MP11, so he's got the new non-Kawamori bits to him.
Exactly, which I have to say, I really like the heel that was put in behind the engine area, the jets, that pops down because it gives him some extra stability. I'm not a big fan of the connected laser null rays on his arms because you can't really put up his missiles properly if they're on there. You kind of have to pop them off the ball joint, but all in all, he looks good. And next to the Walmart Starscream and Skywarp, he fits in quite well. I know a lot of people are all like, well, it's not the same mold as those two. It's not going to fit in, but yeah, you probably wouldn't notice unless you're up close anyway. At a distance, you got all three Seekers and they look pretty bitchin' all together. It's still one of my favorite molds, and he's got some cool paint apps on him. Like, he's got little reflector bits on him, and some kaboom stuff, and little nods on his canopy area there of pilots who have flown him, and one of them is actually a Hasbro designer, I believe.
Is it Bill Rawley?
No, it's not Brawley.
Oh.
He was on Jetfire, though, so he got his name. It's, I have to grab him now and look at it. It is...
That's not a name.
Joe Big Daddy Kide.
Joe Kide, okay. Yeah. Mr. Gobot Decos.
Yep.
That's cool. I want to get that Thundercracker. I haven't seen him around. Did you get him Canadian or did you get him imported?
I got him here. I've been looking for one for you still. I tried. Supposedly, I do have a Masterpiece Prime coming. I'm picking him up at AFX. But supposedly from Duncan, a.k.a. Dak on the boards, we may not be getting any more Masterpiece Optimus Prime. Supposedly Canada's shipments are all supposed to be out there, and a Hasbro rep was saying something that they might not be getting anymore, so who knows?
So we got all 20 Optimus Primes for Canada.
Yep, all, right. All 20. The scalpers got the rest.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Not anybody else in your area who also probably wanted him.
No, there are no other collectors in my area.
Oh, that's true. Downtown Toronto, there's only like six of you, right?
I never met any of them, so as far as I'm concerned, they don't exist.
As they shouldn't.
Yeah.
But no, he's cool. His plastic has also got like that kind of metallic swirl to it, like Universe 2.0 Sideswipe.
Oh, you said 2.0. I can't believe.
Well, Universe 2.
Thank you.
Anyways, no, like he's got a really cool... plastic to him, and the gray is a nice gunmetal gray, and No, overall, if you can get him, like, totally, even at $70, I think he's worth it. Because if you don't have the mold yet, it's a good way of getting into it.
I mean, MP11 was running, what, 150-ish? Am I misremembering that?
Yeah, I think he was 150, and that's not factoring in your shipping yet either, so...
Yeah, it's a fine deal. You drop the coronation gear, and you're getting it for, like, half price.
He still comes with the stand and everything. I didn't see Dr. Arkaville in the box, so I didn't really go digging for him, but I think he also does have the gun clips that you can put Megatron on him, the gun that came with Prime. Oh. But all in all, really good. And the wider head does make him look a little bit more different, so you can have the wider head for Thundercracker, the smirking head for Starscream, and the regular head on Skywarp, and they all kind of look a little different.
Huh. Cool. I still want to try to get MP11 somehow. I don't want to.
I think he will be at AFX on November 11th.
Well, what's that?
Save your money. You don't need it. You already have a Masterpiece Starscream, Chris.
Yeah, but he doesn't have all the new stuff. And...
You don't have any of the third-party coronation kits that they made for him?
Well, I have, you know, one of those, but it's different.
Oh, right. It's different.
I'll just get Masterpiece Sunstorm, then. I'll be fine.
Shut up.
Everyone loves Sunstorm.
It's like the one version of this mold that I don't have.
That's right, and I'm going to get it, and I'm going to lord it over you.
Yeah, you'll show me.
Yep. My shelving costs more than yours.
Probably.
is that all you got?
No, because I don't have stackable containers.
Well, you know, maybe you should get some. Mm. All right. Well, yeah, I'm, I hope you can find another Thundercracker so I can proxy it out of you, or I can just try to...
I hope you find one, Chris, so I may have one.
Yeah.
Thanks, Chris.
What am I going to do, look myself?
I'll get people on it.
we're gonna call in some top men.
Yeah.
We'll be good. Gog, what did you get on topic this week?
I actually got a bunch of stuff on topic.
Whoa.
I found finally found a Prime Deluxe Rumble.
I want to find that toy!
Yeah. I like him. I like him. He has lots of personality. I don't know. I don't know what to say about him. Like he's pretty small. Like, but if it almost feels passable for him because he's Rumble. Like, you know, those guys have always been like the small dudes. So the fact that he is, you know, a smaller deluxe seems fine. Like his car mode is cool. One thing I didn't realize until Soul Fury admin on TFW posted up a gallery. He put Prime Rumble in car mode side by side to Alternator's Rumble, who was the Civic SI from whatever year that was.
Yeah,
and that car takes several design cues from that.
Oh, so, wow!
Like there was some inspiration from the Alternator's incarnation of Rumble, because I guess that was the only Rumble that turned into a sports car, like a smaller car. So like the shape of the headlights, the rims, a couple more little things, but there was definitely some cues from that previous car mode Rumble, and I didn't even catch that, nor had I seen anybody else until Soul did a side by side.
Man, so,
really interesting. But yeah, if you can, I don't have the picture handy, but
Oh yeah, I was gonna ask, have you checked out the Repro Label set that they did for Rumble?
I saw pictures of it. It looks neat.
So. Yeah, that's one reason why I really want to find that toy, because especially with there being ARMS Micron versions coming out of him that look slightly different and a lot more devoted to being blue or red, I'm okay with having the three of them and repro-labeling up the American one, because like it looks like a fun toy, and the repro-label set is so creative because it's based on literally no source material.
Right.
And there's something really cool about that.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it looks like there's some homage to the water on the side. Rumble was the infamous cassette icon, if you will, that made waves in the first... Was it the second part? Yeah, it was the second part of More Than Meets the Eye.
What I mean is, like, it's that all of the stickering on this guy was pretty much like artistried out from scratch. Like, there are homages all over him, but it's not like they had, like, a guidebook of, like, how is this toy supposed to be colored.
Oh, of course not, no.
And
like, the only thing is, like, the chest, really, that kind of has that look of the cassette chest.
Yeah, and there's also a great option on the Repro labels where you can have, in katakana and hiragana, on his spoiler, have him say, Rumble or Frenzy is red or blue. And you can customize it to be whatever you want your reality to be.
Yeah. But he's a fun little guy. One thing that, because I'd gotten a chance to have a little bit of hands-on with this briefly several weeks ago when I had met up locally with Noise Maze. He had brought his Rumble over because he had just found one at a Toys R Us, and I got to transform him and thought he was really cool. But one thing that Noise Maze had found is, because he has like the really huge upper car bits that kind of peg in up on his shoulders and become big shoulder pads, which in person is a lot less offensive than the pre-release stock photos were that we had gotten, or even in-hand photos. Like, I was like, oh God, like what is going on with those arms? And there was probably a couple of times where I was like, yeah, I'm going to have to pass on this. Like, there's nothing really redeeming about this at all. But once I saw in-hand pics of him transformed correctly and posed well, like, I think it looks fine. But one really interesting thing, because like his pile drivers, they kind of do a perfect effect where they look like pile drivers, but they can also double as guns. And you can do that. But one really neat thing with him is those big shoulder pads. Like, you can click those back, swing them back down, and click them into place where they are in car mode, and they go over the pile drivers and make it look like his arms transformed and the pile drivers came out of that.
And that's cool.
And like Noise Maze had said, you almost wonder if that's intentional because it works so well. So I don't know. I really like the difference there. But instead of just plugging the pile drivers into his arms and saying he has pile drivers, like, there's actually an alternate transformation you can do with the arms that makes it look like it's all integrated. So I think it's neat, but I think he's cool. I also saw a cup there, because like they're in the same wave, but I ended up passing. I'm hoping that one day the Ironhide shows up, that we get the Ironhide version. I'll probably pick that up, but so I don't know. Maybe if I see another cup down the road, I'll grab one, but for some reason I just wasn't feeling it. That was also because, too, along with this Rumble on the pegs, they had a couple more Viacons. So at one point, I had two Viacons, Cup, and Rumble in my hands, and I'm like, yeah, I probably shouldn't buy all these right now. So I put Cup back, I put one of the Viacons back, and I'm fine with that, because this is actually my third Prid Viacon. So now I have my three, and I've seen two more since then that I've left, so it feels good to be able to have reached a point with the Viacons where I'm like, I can leave them for somebody else because I don't need any more. Especially having gotten Jet, and I have a first edition with the Hasbro first editions coming out. If I get a couple of them, there's a pre-order up on BBTS for a general Jet Viacon, which I guess a Jet Viacon leader. I don't know what that is. I don't think we've seen pictures of it yet. But
yeah, the only rumor that's come out is that he may be silver. Is the only rumor I've seen.
He's got more black.
Yeah, or he may have, like, it's also a good possibility he may have a new mini, new arms Micron.
Yeah, and in that case, I need him.
Yeah, so we'll see. I got to pre-order him for him, and if I change, you know, if I decide I don't want him, I can always cancel, so that's good. But yeah, Rumble's cool. Yeah, I don't know. He's neat. Nothing mind-blowing, but he's fun. So I think that says a lot with when it comes to Transformers these days. I also locally found the only GDOs that I've actually seen in person, were some of the Legends figures at my local Toys R Us, which when it comes to Transformers, is pretty crap. They don't really have a lot. And they have evidence of stuff showing up and disappearing very quickly. So, but, they had a bunch of the new GDO Legends. They had Blue Streak and, what's the green guy? the
Hoist.
Hoist. Yeah, they had a Hoist. They had I don't remember. Oh, Sand Dude.
Sandstorm.
Sandstorm. And they was had they had Motor Breath. And I wasn't gonna pass up on Motor Breath. I think
Sandstorm was one of the scouts, not the legends.
Well, they had scouts and legends.
Oh, okay.
But they had them. Yeah, I got confused because for some reason they just put them all on the same peg, like all the different classes. It was weird. But so yeah, you are right, and it actually just hit me that they did that because I was reaching back there looking at them, all those guys were together on one peg. So
did they have the other scouts like Laserbeak and
nope.
Oh,
and they probably did at some point if they're in the wave with them.
I would assume so. If
yeah,
one
but
is there.
But they
full
didn't
buy cases of Sandstorm.
Yeah, they didn't by the time I got there. They had one Sandstorm, one Hoist, and then they had one Blue Streak, maybe one other Legend, and then Motor Breath. But anyway, so yeah, I dig Motor Breath as crap. I can't remember who it was now. Oh, Brickinator on Twitter. AKA, I think, Girl Pants on TFW. One good point that he brought up, and don't laugh, that dude's awesome. One good thing that he brought up is one thing that keeps him from just being, because it's supposed to be a Motor Master, you know, representation, but I guess they don't have the ability to use that name. So I guess Motor Breath is the next best thing. I don't know. It's awesome either way. But one thing that he had pointed out to me is one thing that just keeps this from being just another black prime repaint is the white legs. And like, it's true. I guess I didn't think about it until he had said that, but it actually does make a pretty big difference and keeps it from, it actually gives him like a bit of a Motor Master feel instead of it being just, here's yet another black prime repaint. 'Cause God knows we get every prime mold that's been in existence has gotten a black repaint, so it did. I think even that small bit was enough, but like the little new sword that it came with is cool because I never had the Legends version of the Optimus Prime that came out. The only out of those G1 that wave of G1 Legends, the only ones that I got were the gun Megatron and the G1 Starscream.
Optimus was easily in the top three, with the other two being in the top three, so now you've got the top three.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I was thinking there was a fourth, but
I guess. No, I mean, there were other molds. But, I mean, Trailcutter was okay, but
oh, yeah, Trailcutter, that was it.
Optimus, Megatron, and Starscream were, I think, the top three of that little wave of Legends.
Right. Yeah.
The only other option was Goldbug.
Well, no, there was Prowl. Just Prowl kind of sucks.
They were wave two, though.
Huh.
It was all one wave. It was all one wave.
No,
it was a wave of six.
Wave two.
It was a wave of six.
No,
yeah.
No.
I'll fight you at Kipling Station.
Okay.
All right.
That might actually make Kipling Station interesting.
So, whoa.
Trust me, I know. So, anyway. So, yeah, I don't know. Motor Breath is cool. Like, one cool thing that I didn't realize either until I'd gotten this guy in hand is, like, in his when he transforms, like, his head flips down, as a Prime does, goes into truck mode, but you can leave his head flipped down in robot mode, but, like, because on the back of his head is a 3-millimeter peg hole. So, if it's not as versatile as a 5-millimeter peg hole, but if you have, you know, there are several Transformers accessories out there that use 3-millimeter, you know, pegs. So you can plug anything in place of his head that has a 3-millimeter peg, and I thought that was kind of hilarious. On the other hand, it also means that you can leave his sword, like, clipped onto his back, and he can also reach up and grab the sword on his back while it's mounted, so cool. For a little legend dude, he's kind of neat. I like him. I also found I found that Botshots 3-pack that has the Shockwave in it.
Yay!
That's really about the only Botshot that I've been actively looking for. I've seen the wave that has the Powerbot Shockwave, which is the translucent one. Am I correct there? Isn't he in a wave with the last record?
Yeah, he's the chase figure.
Right.
He's got the super bot thing.
Is he in there with Leadfoot?
I want to say yes.
Or Roadbuster? I don't remember.
No, it's Leadfoot's the last one to come out, and Shockwave's either in that wave or the wave after that.
Okay. Well, either, yeah, so I don't know. I've seen the Leadfoot wave, so I don't know. Maybe I've seen his wave, maybe I haven't. I don't know. But anyway, I have yet to see a Shockwave at all, so I found this 3-pack, and I was like, okay, And he also comes with a translucent iron hide and a blue brawl for some reason. So, yay for those two. Don't really care.
Blue brawled.
And the pack was really cheap. I found it at Target, and it rang up for, I think, $7.99.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So
I found it for 30% off, so that made it like $10. And I was like, all right, I'm never going to see it cheaper. So,
yep. So there we go. I don't know of... can't remember a lot of the upcoming bot shots. I'd have to look at that giant list that we got months ago of all the waves, but it might have actually ended around the time of the Shockwave.
So Shockwave's one of the last new ones before they potentially go into those weirder ones that transform differently.
Oh, yeah. So I just remember that the two that I was most excited for was Shockwave and Lockdown. So I have those, and I'll see if anything comes out that surprises me. But so that's everything that I found at retail, but I got some things in the mail from one Sethry Bouzard.
What?
He sent me a big box with some Arms Microns guys and some Creons guys. So, yeah. So, yeah, I got one of every dude from the Blind Packed Creons, Blind Bagged. I actually built them while we were doing the first part of the show before the intermission. They're neat. I like them. Some are definitely better than others. Like, I really like Scorponok. I think he's cool. Like, he has like the scorpion tail on his back and the big old claws. I think he's really cool, and I think his alternate mode is one of the better ones as well. Galvatron's cool. I haven't done his vehicle mode yet, but it looks a little weird. So I think I might just leave Galvatron in robot mode. One thing I found with the, and I might be repeating some of the stuff Seth said because he got these weeks and weeks ago, so I don't remember everything he said exactly. But one thing is, like, they have a lot of the printed detail on the robot chest, but a lot of that stuff actually gets covered up by some of the bits, and it almost makes me wonder if these guys are, even in robot mode, if they share a dual purpose. Like, you can have all the bits on them if you want to do the whole transforming thing and have the kibble, or you can just take all that stuff off and have them more like the traditional Creons that were packed in with the transforming sets, where they don't have any of that stuff and they just have the printed detail on them. So they actually can serve either, you know, the kibbley transforming robot mode, or just discard all that stuff completely and just have them as standalone robot modes. Because, like, with Crankcase, like, the official way to build Crankcase in robot mode is he gets this piece of body armor that goes over the neck hole and has, like, a little clear bit that goes onto his chest, which is cool because it's like the canopy for his... It's like he has a, you know, a window chest.
Yeah.
But if you leave that off, like, he has unique printed detail, from what I can tell, on the chest. So you can just have him be, like, a traditional robot mode, you know, Creon dude, like all the other ones before they started transforming. So, I don't know.
Doesn't Waspinator also have the same
thing? And he's the most egregious offender, because Waspinator actually on his chest has a printed wasp head. Like, in his, like, as if
even his head underneath is like a like Waspinator's proper head,
right? But in order to get the wings on his back, he has to have the torso piece that goes over the body, so that he has something so his wings can peg into. So, you know, the only way to show Waspinator, like, that cool wasp head print on his chest is to, like, leave all that stuff off. So That's kind of disappointing. I mean, I get where they're coming from, you know, and it's not like they're not going to make a unique wasp head piece that clips onto around the body. I mean, I guess they could have, but seeing as, like, the whole thing with minifigures generally is trying to uniquely reuse parts, it's probably one they wouldn't really have been able to get away with reusing. So,
yeah, that's the thing that I didn't bring that up when I talked about it a while back, but I do remember when I was putting those dudes together myself, like, thinking, whoa, why did they bother with all this tampoed-on detail that I'm covering up?
Yeah. And to be honest, though, I'm trying to find where my Waspinator actually went. It should be here somewhere. I could actually modify it, though, because, like, the whole thing, the reason why that exists is because it goes over his chest, but it's basically to put a peg onto the back, so the part where you build the wing, so it looks like the wasp wings on his back, will have something to attach to. But you could feasibly, because it connects by, basically, you peg his head in over it, and it locks it in place on the neck post. But you could feasibly, you know, if you had a Dremel or something, you could probably just cut the front part of that armor off so that it still sits above the shoulders and the neck post will still hold it in place.
You just pulled the idea right out of my head. I was just going to suggest
that. Well, while I was building it, that's exactly what I was thinking as it was happening. So I think I might actually do that, because even from the look of the instructions, none of that front part is not really needed in the insect mode at all, because, again, the only purpose it serves in insect mode is to have something for the wings to attach to, I think. So, wherever his instructions are. But whatever. So, I might actually try that, because it's really a shame that insect, the cool little insect print on the front is completely covered up, no matter how you do it, unless you just take all the unique parts off of it. But, yeah, overall, I think it's a neat idea. Some definitely work better than others, but you don't have to. I think for $3 each, you can still get enjoyment out of them, even if you completely discard the whole transformation and alternate mode gimmick. But I still appreciate what they're doing, and I hope they continue to get, as they make more Creon parts, I hope they find, as they get a bigger reservoir to pull from, some more unique ways to do it. Because I think some of them are struggling a little bit. Like, and at least they're trying. Like with Sunstorm, like some of the spare parts, you just plug them all together and it looks like he's holding some sort of weird gun. It doesn't really look like a gun. It looks like some Lego part stuck
together. It's his double-handed street sign gun.
Yeah. So, and at least they're trying. You know, in some cases you have to discard parts entirely, like with Scorponok, the robot legs just disappear because there's nowhere for them to go. And a couple of the figures actually use all the parts in both modes, but it's not totally consistent, but you know, whatever. It's not a big deal. But I think they're neat.
Couldn't just put his legs on his back.
I don't remember. I mean, but from when I built.
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess they wouldn't really have a place to put his tail.
No, because the tail in the beast mode, the tail plugs into where the legs go, under the torso. So there may be some unique way to fan mode it and make it work, but whatever. But he's cool in it either way. He's actually, I think, really awesome in both modes. And I love his head. He just looks like this walking monstrosity of like, ah! So.
Yeah, is that the sideswipe head? It's funny how well that works. It is sideswipes, yeah.
But he's cool. But so yeah, I like those guys, and I'll be looking forward to seeing what rest of them come out, because I think they're affordable for what they are. And also,
you can get Arachnid.
What?
Arachnid. She's coming up.
Oh yeah, I need to look at the list, because I definitely remember several.
I have it right in front of me. If you want,
I don't know what the actual wave breakdowns are. I'll have to take a look at them later.
The ones that aren't out? Blastoff, Bludgeon, Dirge, Hook, Insecticon, Rampage, and Singe.
Okay. Cool.
Oh, and the Combiners.
Oh, yeah. Can't forget about them. But, so also in that box, I got some Arms Microns. These are my first ones that are not the pack-ins.
This was my favorite off-recording conversation I've had with you in weeks, was hearing you open up these Arms Microns and discover the magic.
Yeah, I was messing around with them last night after we had gotten done, after we got done recording Prime Time. Think offhand. So the only two Arms Microns that I had previous to this were, the very first one that I got was the, Zanu or Zaku or whatever his name is that comes with, he's the Rhino Hammer with Breakdown.
Oh, Zamu.
Zamu. And, I got the Lizard Viacon, Jet Viacon gun thing.
Igu.
Okay, sure.
I don't know why I know all these names.
I don't know either. It's strange. And I actually built the regular ARMS Micron Viacon version because I did that over at Aaron's house a few weeks ago when I was over there, because he hadn't opened up his I guess he had another car Viacon ARMS Micron, and I hadn't seen that Micron, so I asked him if I could build it. He let me. So. And I was actually surprised at how similar they were. It was,
yeah, they're just reversed pretty much.
Yeah. So, but it was still cool, and I appreciated the fact that they were so close, but yet had different modes. So it was neat. I think first of all, the ones that Seth gave me were, he gave me the pink gecko guy, I got the black snake dude, and I got the Optimus Prime blaster, who looks like a little mini Optimus Prime who turns into Prime's gun. And I think Seth was... I remember Seth talking about these when he got them, and I think he was right on the money with most of what he said. I really, really, really like the concept of ARMS Micron, and I would love to see this stick around and them to get some more molds out there and continue to experiment with this, because I think it's really neat. But Seth had made the point that the... like the ones that actually come with the dudes versus the ones that are released standalone like this, in a lot of cases, just the quality and playability and stuff doesn't necessarily add up. The little gecko dude is kind of neat, and I certainly can find some really hilarious things for him to do. I'm glad that I got him, for sure. But like, you compare like even the parts count, and the robustness and size of them compared to like the Jet Viacon gun and even the Rhino Hammer from Breakdown. Like, it's not really much of a comparison. The ones that come with the actual robots are just far and away a higher quality product. And this, like the snake dude, like the parts on him kind of pop off really easy. And like, I think I'd like the snake guy a lot more if things locked into place. As it stands, it's kind of like everything's on hinges, and you have to just move the hinges until it looks okay. But it doesn't. You never get a feel for like this is the mode that it's supposed to be in, and it locks into place. You do with the gecko a bit more, but out of the three that I got, the Prime Blaster I think is easily the coolest. I don't know, his transformation, while it's simple, it's still pretty neat, and I like the fact that. Like, he turns into a gun that somehow, like, resembles, like, Optimus Prime's. And,
there's a neat theory going around about, like, because there's no fiction for ARMS Micron, really, right. Other than, like, the ARMS Micron Theater. And the only real fictional base is that they are Transformer weapons that were mutated by Earth-based Energon and have turned into little sentient life forms that are secretly just staying quiet when the show's running.
Right.
So the question is, these little Microns that look like, that look like Optimus Prime or Bulkhead or Megatron, are they just supposed to be the character's Micron size, or are they actually Microns that just inexplicably look exactly like show characters, but are completely separate little entities? And, like, what kind of lives do they lead? And I'm like, man, someone needs to make that comic book.
Well, I know that the weapons that are in the show, that are in the show, and that come with the toys, like, they show up in the ARMS Micron Theater or whatever, but
yeah.
Like, does the Optimus Prime blaster?
No. The capsule ones do not. And that's the hole in the fiction that is potentially really fun.
Okay.
And, yeah.
And it looks like some of the upcoming ones that they're doing, it looks like they've kind of started leaning towards making those newer molds a little more, bit more robust from what I can tell. So it looks like it may have just been a matter of maybe this first wave of the standalone ones were a little weak. But, I mean, at least I hope that that's the direction that they go. But I wouldn't mind picking more of them up, because I'm in love with the ones that come with the actual robots. The only other ARMS Micron that I have coming is the Silas Breakdown, who comes with the Praying Mantis. So we'll see. But I think it looks weird. I mean, and it's not bad. Like, I'm still looking forward to it. But I'm wondering if I'm going to like it as much as I will like the Jet Viacon gun, because I really like that one.
The Viacon guns, both of them, I think, are two of the just, in terms of standalone, two of the nicest ones. Mm-hmm. And Bulkhead Knuckle definitely is the top-tier capsule one so far.
But I really love the Breakdown's hammer because it just turns into this squat little rhino, which is fine, but it's also a rhino that is covered in 5mm ports, and you can just peg anything into him. Like, I can't remember whose weapon it was, but there was like a, I have like a, somebody's sword that has a 5mm post on it, and you can just clip swords onto him. So now it's a little rhino with literally just swords sticking out from every angle on him. You can, and he has one just like mounted, like just right on the top, like above his head. So you can just put, giant like cannons on the back of the rhino, and it's, I don't know, like the rhino on his own is still pretty solid, but when you start plugging other stuff into him is when the magic happens. And so he might actually be my favorite just for that reason.
He's a very unique color as well among the Arms Microns, like just being like bone white. That's rare right now.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, thank you, Seth. You gave me lots of little things that I'm actually not entirely done talking about, but for the purposes of being on topic, I am finished.
All right.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Seth, did you get any Transformers this week?
Guess what?
What?
I did.
Oh!
Third and first party stuff.
Whoa.
Snap.
Dude. What? Two shows in a row I have on topic things.
Jiminy.
So, I go to Toys R Us for the third week in a row, hoping to find Masterpiece Optimus Prime. It would be nice if I also saw GDO. They don't have either. But this third time, so I'm looking on that lower shelf where, like, Masterpieces turn up when they turn up, like, where the big boxes go, and there's not even a gap where it could be. So then I kind of look up around the on the pegs where the deluxes and stuff are. And it's like, well, there's leftover movie garbage. And there's all the shelf-warming Bumblebees. And I'm like, well, this is a wash. And then I notice on the shelf below the pegs were a whole bunch of first edition Prime figures. I was like, what? That's weird. Like,
just the deluxes or the Voyagers too?
The deluxes.
Okay.
I was like, that's really weird that these would be here. And they have a Viacon. So I'll get the Viacon. Because thanks to Gog Dog, I had gotten RC and Starscream already. So I got the Viacon, and last time is when I got the Prid Viacon. And I gotta say, I like the Prid Viacon more. I just like the silhouette of the Prid Viacon over the first edition one, like the big top of car parts forming this black rectangle on the back is less than ideal. And I like the gun that the Prid one comes with a lot better. The bigger gun that clips onto his forearm instead of just sort of hanging off his wrist. And I just think the Prid one does it better. But, you know, it's cool to get both and to have seen for myself. And this is all stuff that other people have said repeatedly. So I don't think I need to get too deep into it. And even looking better, the Prid one, I found the transformation to be a little more intuitive and simple.
Yeah. I like the first edition transformation, but it's more like an engineering junky thing than like, especially in comparison to the Prid one, than like an actual like fun transformation. Like, it's neat, but the Prid one really goes like, hey, look, simplicity. Like, oh geez.
Yeah, while he's still doing kind of cool stuff with like how much folds up and hides away into his legs. Like, all that stuff hanging off the back of the first edition folds away into the legs of the Prid. And then the first edition one just, like, I transformed it without the instructions,
But it took a while for me to figure out below the knee and feet part of the legs, because there's just all these little fiddly pieces, and it's like, this seems way more complicated than is necessary. And then it doesn't even look that great when you're done. It's like, well, okay, so there's all these tiny little pieces that make up his lower leg and feet that still kind of look cruddy after you finished diddling around with all of them. So, I mean, it's not a terrible thing. It's not like, oh my god, if you get the first edition one, just cut your throat. But, you know, this is a case where the Prid one is better. And then, in third-party news, I got UFO and Hench.
Oh, boy!
I like UFO a lot more than I thought I was going to. And I like Hench a bit less than I thought I was going to. Now, off mic, we were talking about how a lot of people are having quality control issues. I think it was Gerodimus tweeted a picture from his UFO.
Oh, feet. it was not Nickbot. Was it Daytime Ninja? Might have been Daytime Ninja.
I don't know.
You mean the busted stand?
No.
Oh, never mind. The
heel spur that flips out on the feet. Was cracked and busted.
Might have been Jared.
I'm happy to...
Might have been Jared?
Maybe. Yeah, and then you were saying, like, people have had trouble with the stands. I actually haven't tried using the stand on mine yet. I never took the stand out of the box. So I don't know if there's anything wrong with it. But the figure itself is fine. There's no little broken-y pieces. All the joints are nice and tight. The only problem is they put the feet on the wrong legs.
No!
And his feet are at an angle. So when the feet are on the wrong legs, the feet are angled in a way that he can't really stand up, because they're at weird outward angles. But it looks like it's just a small screw that attaches the foot. So it shouldn't be any more than a trivial matter to unscrew and then swap the feet around. I just have to dig up my little screwdrivers. I'm not exactly sure where they are. I gotta look for them. I just haven't gotten around to looking for them yet.
No.
But I really like the whole gimmick of how his head is under a plastic bubble, a clear plastic bubble, and how his gun is really kind of that 50s-ish or actually even movie serial-ish. Just kind of like big ray gun with a lightning bolt on the side and a big fin on top. I like his style. I think UFO is all right.
That's good. He was the most interesting-looking of the pair to me. By far. Like, that little ray gun went a long way.
Yeah. Hench. Things I like about Hench. I like how much he is reminiscent of Braun. Very much. I like his little kind of underbite sort of shape to his mouth and chin, where he just kind of like has that protruding chin look and kind of... kind of a face. Now, like with the original Braun toy, how his legs were like the whole length of the vehicle mode with the front and back tire attached. That's the same deal with Hench, except the legs fold in half in a way that I thought was pretty interesting and cool. So he just doesn't have these big, long stilt legs like Braun did. So when you swing his leg down, you sort of have the hip, like you have his leg sticking straight out from the hip, and then you bend the knee, and then that gives you the clearance to fold the two halves of his leg together in a way that was just kind of cool. I mean, it's simple, but effective and pretty neat. On his feet, like the bottom of his feet, which are like the fuel canister things that hang off the back of his vehicle mode, there's a pin, so they tilt, which would have been great for posing, because like, you know how on the perfect effect figures that have the foot tilt, like with the not reflector guys.
Yeah.
So I would, when I realized that's what they did, I thought, oh, this is awesome. He'll be able to stand in cool poses like the perfect effect guys, but they barely tilt in any direction. Like they hardly move. It might as well not even tilt. It tilts so little. So that was disappointing. But the part that really disappoints me is his arms are so basic. Like he's got no kind of wrists. He just has a ball at the shoulders. And, a ball at the elbow, and then a ball and just a simple hinge shoulders. I just popped one of his arms off by accident.
No!
And I popped it back in.
Oh, good.
Piece of cake. So I was a little let down that, like, okay, wow, cool. Like, they did this neat thing with how his legs work, and then his arms are just so simple. And I think more than on UFO, with how simple his arms are, and how just sort of a block his torso is, that this could have easily been a smaller figure, like more on the size of a Rager and Spray. But they scaled it up. It's the impression that I'm getting. Mm-hmm. Now, at that smaller size, maybe his legs would have been a bit more fragile. Or, you know, just fragile. But I don't know. Without actually seeing it. And, like, the gun he comes with is, like, this sawed-off shotgun-looking thing. And it would have been cool to be able to pose him in ways where he could have a hand on the pump, or what appears to be a pump, but there's just no way to do it without it looking just like I'm trying to do it now. And once you can't turn his wrist, now the gun's at like an angle, and then it's just his fist underneath it. So that was a letdown. Like I expected a bit more articulation from this guy than we got. I mean, he looks great standing kind of static, but he's really kind of limited on posing in a way that bummed me out. So the likeness is great. The articulation is lacking for its size. Mm-hmm. I would have been much more forgiving of the articulation if he was smaller, but at this big, it's a bummer. It's a letdown.
Yeah, it's weird that the, like, everything I've been hearing about the upsizing is just kind of like, it feels like, as you said, that there were smaller toys that were just kind of, like, inflated, and that nothing really fills in the new gaps that show up when they become that big.
Yeah, but without having messed with the stand, I can't comment on any issues with the stand. If the only quality problems that I had is a simple, easy to fix feet are on the wrong legs for UFO, then I got off pretty lucky. Like all the joints on both of them are nice and tight. No broken pieces. So I got lucky in that regard, it sounds like.
I hope that in the end it turns out that it's just a lot of the first ones to arrive were kind of busted up, but I mean I'll find out about mine. Hopefully tomorrow and not Monday, but probably Monday. I really hope that it turns out better because like Mini Warriors were looking like they were on such an up and up, and I was bummed out to see all the lukewarm to negative responses.
Like I was jazzed to get the not out back, but now not so much.
Mm-hmm.
I'll still probably get the Gears just because it's Gears.
Yeah.
and Gears and Huffer are collectively the best characters from the G1 cartoon.
Oh, dear.
Good riddance.
That's an excellent Huffer impersonation you just did.
But that is all the on-topic stuff I got.
All right, I only got on-topic stuff. So, eat it. After the debut of...
Nom, nom, nom.
Oh, no.
I'm eating it.
After the debut of the Star Saber on Transformers Prime, I and Jared both, and some other people, decided, like, I kind of want a Dr. Wu Prime sword now, even though it's not really the Star Saber. It's just, it's a big, fancy-looking sword that can keep us occupied until Dr. Wu's Star Saber comes out. And I got them off Alipay, like Gerardimus did. It took a billion years for them to get here, but I got them. I got both of them, the silver one with the blue Matrix gem and the darker one with the purple Matrix gem. And they're neat. On Alipay, they cost, like... maybe like $10, which is fine. They're made of solid metal, which is really cool. The only bummer is my Dark Prime sword, the connection between the chromed blade part and the hilt is a little bit wiggly, but I'm not too worried because it's made of metal. There's no chance that anything can snap. I just might eventually have to re-glue it together. But yeah, it's weighty. It looks really good. It's pointy enough on the tip to kind of hurt yourself, and it uses it has a 5mm... handle, so most any modern toy can hold on to it to some degree. Third-party toys I'm a little bit more careful with. Steel Core, he can hold it, but you can't slide the grip all the way into his fist. It's just a bit too fat to fit his fist. I wonder if that's because this is metal and not a slightly more molecularly pliable plastic. Trying this out with the Mastermind Creations Airborne Squad, dude. I haven't tried that yet, actually. Same thing. It starts to go in, but it jams just enough to not want to really push it any farther. So I did try it with the Prime Voyager Megatron, and he gripped this sword design like a glove. It was beautiful. So don't pay more than like $10 or $12 for these swords, but you know what you're getting is just a really nicely crafted solid metal little accessory with a gem in it. It's technically you're getting like a letter opener or a piece of jewelry. It happens to be holdable by a toy. It even comes packaged in just like a little like sleeve. But it is also my very first Dr. Wu piece. And it was quite funny. TFW news staffy secret code just twittered me going like, so you're getting a Dr. Wu thing. Maybe you can tell me about the plastic quality. And I was like, dude, Prime Sword is solid metal. The Star Saber he's doing is going to be plastic. I got nothing for you. And I got nothing about Dr. Wu's plastic, but his metal feels really good. So those things are cool. I'm kind of glad I picked them up. Also, in the mail, I've got my copy of Mastermind Creations Screecher, the Starscream colored version of their steampunk seeker design. He comes with a comic book that has some really interesting stuff as far as the Night Morpher storyline goes. It reveals what Cyclops's master plan is, which you can check out the comic book on their Facebook page, and when you see his master plan, you know, get to know your history a little bit, and you're gonna probably go like, oh, that's kind of goofy, and I kind of enjoy it. The comic book also reveals a possible new color with new head for this seeker design, that being the Black Crow Squadron, which are led by Annihilator, and there are a whole bunch of black steampunk seekers with like Gundam heads with like visors or mono eyes, and it's kind of neat. The actual toy is even tighter and stronger than the Awakening version. It feels like a lot of the joint tolerances were tweaked slightly. I actually had some trouble getting his forearm flaps to open to store his hands for alt mode. Now they work fine, but it's kind of like I had to almost crack the joint open a little bit on the first go to loosen it up. Conversely, the little things on the sides of his head now fold away a lot easier, and it's a little bit of a looser joint than the somewhat overtight Awakening version. I know that those ear joints and the stiffness of the two fragile skirt pieces were going to be tweaked for this release, and the two little skirt pieces also feel a lot more robust. They don't feel quite as risky to move up and down. I still wouldn't put too much pressure on them, but... it feels like just tweaks happened all around, mostly for the better. Even his waist joint is a lot more loudly clicky. Like it's one of these ones now that does that, whereas before it was a lot more of a dull, bassy click. So he's a fantastic toy. He's well-built. I think he's the best thing Mastermind's released to date. I had this conversation with GOG after our primetime recording, but it's kind of like Cyclops was this level of quality, but the engineering was a few hundred times more ambitious and pushed the limits of the plastic in a lot of different ways. The Airborne Squad, regardless of the version you get, is a lot more of a grounded design. It's certainly not simple by any means, but it's not trying to do anything insane. The insanity of the design is the sheer number of built-in gimmicks that are... They are so built-in, you can legitimately not know that they are there and still enjoy the toy. And the new thing on this guy being his coloring is really nicely done. The a lot of it is it feels like colored plastic. I know it was explained to me at TFCon that for the red and the blue, it's some kind of odd process of like using like I don't want to say clear plastics, but it's like a form of coloring the plastic that brings out this really cool metallic finish. That's really cool, and it's cool. And I think it's kind of cool. He also has a new head sculpt, which is smirking, because he's the Starscream version of this toy, so he gets to smirk. They were going to actually do a specific head sculpt for each of the three Airborne Squad members, but the ones for Stormer and Warper looked so alike that in production that it just wasn't really worth doing. Like, they look different in the CAD or whatever, or in the design, but the production, the differences were just too subtle to notice. So I totally recommend this guy if you like the idea of a steampunk Starscream, or if, you know, wait for one of the other two color versions if you prefer a blue one or a black and purple one. It's a great toy. It's worth picking up. I wouldn't say it's even a deluxe. It's a lot more like a Voyager. If you're going to try to figure out a mainline parallel price point. And as we revealed, myself and PR, we were sitting on the information for a little while to see if anyone figured it out with the Awakening version, but there are some hidden gimmicks on these dudes. They are able to link up with Annihilator or any of the Nightmorpher locomotives to be pulled as a boxcar covered in blades. Or you can do that, and you can link up any number of the Airborne Squad together to just make a long train of bladed boxcars that are being pulled by a locomotive. That's kind of cool. Also, the big wings on the back can come off and be used as swords, or they can be combined with the hip skirt wings to make a giant throwing star, which is the main thing that we were keeping quiet about for quite some time, ever since TFCon. I distinctly recall at TFCon I was shown that feature by a gentleman from Mastermind behind the table at one of the dealer booths, and he's showing it to me. I'm like, yeah, no one's really supposed to see this. And after he finishes showing it to me, we turn around, and some 13-year-old guy, I think, or maybe 16-year-old, had been watching over our shoulders the entire time, just calmly, without really like caring. And we both kind of looked at him, and then dude from Mastermind's like, so we're gonna have to kill you. And the guy got the joke, and is no longer with no. But it was fun to get a production color version of this mold, and I like it. If I had any qualms, it would just be that they follow the Starscream palette really closely, and I think it's on his pelvis piece, like the cowcatcher on his crotch armor. It's just solid red, and I kind of wish it had some of the gold detailing his chest got, because that feels like the one bland point on the toy. But otherwise, it's solid. It's fun. I mean, I haven't broken this or the Awakening version. I've been pretty rough on the Awakening version, trying to figure out how it all works. So I'd recommend it. If you're worried about Mastermind Creation stuff having really fragile plastic, I think the Airborne Squad is the most durable thing they've released. That is also so intricate. I think Annihilator and possibly the version 2 of the Commander is still the most durable thing. But the Airborne Squad, like I should have broken several things on one of these versions that didn't break. And if these had been made like older Mastermind Creations products, I probably would have broken them. I have dropped the Awakening version several times on my desk. I've snagged the propellers more than once with my fingers or with my sleeve, and nothing has snapped off. So I gotta go hats off to those dudes for figuring out some very specific tolerances on these thin parts. Gog, are you still rocking the pre-order on the Starscream version of this?
I've never actually had a pre-order.
Oh, yeah, so I just kept assuming you did.
Yeah, I've just... This year has just been overboard when it comes to pre-orders. Like, yeah. I don't know how else to put it. So I've really kind of just tried to take a step back and not... I'd love to get it. And especially, I mean, talking to you about it yesterday, it sounds like it's a... this is... a better, much better product, you know, overall than the Cyclops was. So I'm certainly excited about this to pick it up. But I want to, yeah, I need to get through what I have on deck right now, and you know, maybe in the immediate future, early next year or something, maybe before the end of the year sometime, pick it up. But as of right now, I don't have one actually pre-ordered.
And I don't mean to drop any harsh words on Cyclops, because I still think it's a fantastic release and it's fantastic it actually happened. But the Airborne Squad is just legitimately a more solid and more fun toy package that is a lot less stressful to play with. You just kind of have to be into the aesthetic, and the alt mode is definitely not something that you can really convince someone to like if they don't like it. You got to buy what that alt mode is. Up front, it's silly. It's right out of the line art of that comic book, and Mastermind succeeded. It's mostly the question of, do you think the comic book even succeeded with that design? The only other what we got stuff I want to briefly talk about is I finished building two Arms Micron toys, like stickering up and building their Microns, and those are two of the bigger ones out there: Megatron Darkness and Gaia Unicron. So. I want to briefly on Gaia Unicron, especially. I just want to talk a little bit. Last week, I was dropping some harsh words on Gaia Unicron's ability to combine with Megatron. I found there was a slip in the box with an instruction step that had been left out of the instruction sheet, which is that there's a different set of holes to plug the underhanging cape epaulet bits onto for when you combine it with Megatron. And I had them plugged in for Optimus Prime. Somehow, moving them to those other positions made it easy to plug this thing together. I actually successfully combined it with Darkness Megatron. I decided if I was going to try it again, I'm going to go whole hog and start grinding some vac metal chrome together one more time. And it worked. Several times I combined them together, pulled them apart, and I did not have any visible chrome damage that I could notice. I'm sure if I scrutinized it with varying degrees of different angles of light, I'll probably find some scratches, but just at a glance, it actually worked. I'm flabbergasted that a friction-based, completely BS, like, almost like third-party level attempt to combine two things together using something that is kind of shaped like a C-clip, and both those pieces being covered in vac metal chrome actually kind of worked. I'm astounded. The combine mode is completely crazy. Like, Unicron still, he just turns into a cape and shoulder pads, and then you plug suspenders and a loincloth onto the front. The stickering, a lot of the stickers are for the cape mode, oddly enough. It's for a lot of the revealed internal workings. You color them like gold and red. There's also like there's some great stickers for Unicron's pelvis, and there's some terrible stickers for his toes that I don't understand how they were cut, what the purpose of their cut was. It's like they were designed to not cover the whole toe, but look like they're trying to. It's just not well done at all. And the little Micron he comes with, Bogu, who's apparently a multifaceted name, is a little rock mole with a mono eye and tank treads, and he turns into Unicron's pokey finger arm. Bogu is vaguely based on the word Mogura, which is the Japanese word for mole. It's also an homage to the Micron that came with the Armada Unicron, because in Japan, that Micron was called Bagu. So here they gave him one called Bogu. Bogu also just sounds vulgar. It sounds like something that comes out of your nose when you sneeze. And I was musing to myself, if Arms Microns are supposed to be a Transformers weapon that has become sentient due to mutated Earth-based Energon, what the hell is the Arms Micron that is a part of Unicron then? Like, what is his story? What the hell is Bogu? Like, does Unicron, like, shed sentient Bogus everywhere when he just walks around as, like, a rock avatar? Or is there just one primary Bogu that is, like, the unifying key point on any given Unicron avatar? I don't know. But I was thinking about that out loud while I was doing the V-build, and I found it kind of interesting, for being such an uninteresting, overall topic. But yeah, Gaia Unicron, still my capsule on him is, like, if you need to be told why to buy him, you probably don't want to buy him, but if you're into the stupid stuff he does, then he's kind of awesome. I like him. I paid the HLJ price, so I didn't pay, like, 70 up on him, but... it still kind of stings how much he costs, but I kind of like him. I think I might take him to AFX to wave at people. He's got a cool robot mode, regardless of your taste on his crazier modes. Megatron Darkness, I absolutely recommend that toy. Especially because he's kind of, like, at least at HLJ, he's kind of shelf warming, so he's not hard to find. I think they have him on sale right now, even, like, 3,000 something yen. The chrome on him is fantastic because it follows that brushed metal sculpt texture that's on the plastic. And because of that, much like with Unicron, whose chrome follows a more rocky texture, that texture helps hide scratches really well. And the stickering on Megatron, thank goodness you're not putting stickers on the chrome. I was legit ready for Takara Tomy to be dumb enough to go like, yo, put some stickers on the vac metal chrome, because I'd be like, yeah, sure, that'll work. But the stickers are kind of neat. They kind of homage the livery that's on like G1 Megatron's chest, or that E-Hobby Galvatron. And his Microns are great. His arm cannon Micron, it's the same mold as the Gorilla Cannon that came with the Deluxe Megatron release, but it has different forearms that don't have the swivel-out sword pieces, but are instead just much bigger, and he forms a much more cohesive-looking cannon. And then Hades, the giant bat Super Micron, is kind of cool. He's made entirely of like translucent purple plastic. He's got a big glowing red eye that you put a sticker on, and he's got like 3 Energon crystals in him, so he's like a 1 micron super weapon. So he can turn into like a wing pack for Megatron, which looks really cool, or he can turn into a giant scythe, which kind of works thanks to the metallic stickers that you put on the scythe side of the wings. So I actually really like Megatron Darkness. I think that like, if you had the choice between the Voyager Powerizer Megatron and Megatron Darkness, unless you really need show accuracy, just go for the crazy Japanese one if you can find it for a decent price under 4,000 yen, because he comes with more, and I think he just looks more striking, unless you're going to repro-label up the Powerizer. I don't know how that repro-label set looks in practice, but hopefully I can pick it up sometime. But yeah, I'm actually really happy with these two. Like, they're big and dumb, and Unicron especially is like, Unicron is like Ultimate Optimus Prime. Like, If you need to have someone tell you that your decision to not buy it is somehow a mistake, then don't bother, because you made the right choice. If you don't want to buy it, you're better off than the rest of us. But it's kind of a fun toy, and he has a big, giant, stupid face on his back. That's all the Transformers I got this week. Arms Micron is eating up a lot of my model kit building time, and I don't really mind. And I got nothing that's off topic, so let's swing it back around. GM Fan 101, if you're still awake, did you get anything that wasn't a Transformer this last week or so? You are not awake. Not even in the call. No, you're in the call. You're legit asleep. I have heard of this happening before.
He's not as well trained as we are.
If you listen carefully, we might be able to hear the snoring. Kind of hear the breathing. Anyway, Seth, did you get anything that was off topic this week?
I'd like to point out that I am very tired, but I'm professional.
Yeah.
So I'm dealing.
Yes, you are.
Yes, I got off topic things.
Oh, boy.
As has been well documented and oft repeated, it is very difficult for me to see blind packed stuff and not get at least one. And then when it's also Angry Birds, and then when it's also Star Wars, I have to get 4 packs of blind packed Angry Birds Star Wars figures. In the blind, like, okay, so the way they're selling the Angry Birds Star Wars is there's like this early bird box that has a bunch of characters in it. Then there's these sets, which like the AT-AT set has like this AT-AT frame sort of thing. And there's little platforms and windows where you could stick all the pigs. And then you have a slingshot thing and you're launching the birds to try to knock the pigs out. So those sets come in various sizes at various price points with different numbers of little toy birds and pigs. Every set has a character that you can only get in that set. Let me see, I got the little catalog thing right here. So just as an example, like there's the Jabba's Palace, which comes with a 3, and the Jabba pig is the only way you could get, or buying the Jabba's Palace is the only way to get the Jabba pig, and the fight on Tatooine set is the only way to get the Greedo pig. so on and so forth. In the blind packs, there's two exclusive birds. I didn't get either of them. I would really like to get them because, like, one is Wedge Antilles, and Wedge is the best pilot in the Rebellion, even better than Luke.
Yoy, yoy.
What?
Oh, I'm sorry, I love Wedge.
Oh.
Oh, you're awake!
I am awake.
Oh, welcome.
I had my mic muted. I was
stuck. Oh, of course, of course. Well, gotta wait your turn now.
I will.
So the whole time everyone was talking about you being asleep, you didn't think to unmute your mic?
I may have been asleep for that.
Oh, boy. And the other exclusive is
he's not telling everybody is that I actually sent him a text message saying wake up asshole.
It's been a long week.
All right.
I have to be up in 4 hours.
This is what happens when you come on our show. You stay up late.
I didn't think you would be up this late.
Yeah, nobody ever thinks that. We don't ever think that.
You're the one who texted me asking to come on this week, FYI. Yeah.
I didn't know. Victim of hubris.
So anyway, the other exclusive is the Han Solo yellow bird frozen in carbonite, and that's pretty rad. I didn't get either of those. I looked at the bags real quick. I was looking for like any sort of serial number, anything that gives away what's inside. Because these are made by Hasbro. We all know what happened with the Creon blind pack things. Every one of them has a very specific number that's very easy to read. I couldn't find anything that differentiates. And I didn't realize until I was on the way home with them, because I didn't read, you know, the big blatant writing on the bag clearly enough. Each bag comes with two, so it's a lot more randomized, because I ended up with doubles of two of them, and they weren't the same. Like, so I ended up with two AT-AT driver pigs and two Ponda Baba pigs, and it wasn't a case of two bags with one each. In every case, one of them was matched up with something else. Like, they weren't matched up with each other, and I just got it twice. Then I also got a Stormtrooper pig. I got a blue bird with the Echo Base hat and goggles. I got the Rancor Pit pig. And I think maybe the coolest one is the pink bird in the Bosch disguise. And that Bosch helmet is really cool. So a Bosch bird is pretty cool. The Kinects toy line has Angry Bird figures also. What I'm guessing is Kinects has the license for Angry Birds and Angry Bird Space. And then when they went to do Star Wars, Hasbro jumped in the mix and was like, we control all of Star Wars, toys of everything. And so we have to do the bird toys, or the Star Wars bird toys. The Kinects birds I got a few of a couple weeks ago are significantly larger. So, you know, if that's important to you, I don't know if it is or isn't.
I need big birds.
Yeah. But they do a similar gimmick with the Kinects toys, where there's a slingshot piece and you build little structures and you fling the toy birds at the things you build. So they do similar things, but they come at it at different sizes and slightly different ways. You know, they're interesting. They don't really do anything. There's absolutely no articulation to them. If you like birds, if you like Star Wars, you might like these. Then the other off-topic stuff I got, I know GogDog was holding off commentary a few days ago when I had tweeted some pictures. I got what I'm pretty well sure are highly or very well done high-end knockoffs of the NECA Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle figures.
Oh, from a few years ago. I saw that exchange. I had no idea that there were knockoffs of those.
Well, before I ordered them from a seller through Amazon, and I was reading the comments and from other buyers or other purchasers, and there was indication of from some of those people that they weren't sure if these were the knockoffs or not, and that there were knockoffs, and these might be the knockoffs, but if they are the knockoffs, they're very well made, so for the price, it's good enough. And I went, well, you know, the price is pretty cheap. I think they were like $65 for all four of them, which is way more affordable than when I went hunting down individuals. So I went, you know what? These reviews are saying if they are knockoffs, they're really good. So I'm just going to take a shot. So I took a shot, ordered them. Dog had found a site where there were some comparison photos. There may have been different generations of this knockoff, because one of the things that was pointed out in this thread he had found was that the headband piece was not flexible. The ones on mine are flexible, but some of the other details, like the black lines in the detail on Raph's eye, aren't very dark. That's the case. The shells are a little more bluish tinted. I can't really compare, but they are kind of bluish tinted. And then some detail on the feet match up with the pictures of the knockoff. So I'm sure these are the knockoffs, but they are so well done. I'm not really worried about them being the knockoffs. Of course, I would rather have the legit ones, but I just can't swing the money for the legit ones right now. So these are good enough for what I paid. And they're pretty darn good considering.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if NECA were to say, hey, we're re-releasing the turtles, I will happily buy legit ones again. But, you know, do they ever do that?
I don't know NECA well enough.
Yeah.
They will. And it's just the thing with NECA with the turtles is it's just an odd situation because the turtles license or the ownership of the franchise was sold from what's his name, Peter Laird, to Nickelodeon, and it was that whole situation where basically the contract that NECA had to be able to make Turtles figures was basically overnight like made null and void. They'll never be released again because NECA just doesn't have the license to release them.
Yeah. So was that the thing you were holding off until the show?
No, I just said I wouldn't. Yeah. There was no sense in making you feel bad talking about it. I was like, hey, we'll just talk about it when you talk about it. Okay. That's what I meant. I didn't have like some big thing to discuss.
Oh, I thought you were. No, like,
I was just gonna say like.
You were gonna come at me like you're cheapening the turtles.
Well, like my whole thing is like if you can prove that those are knockoffs, like I think you should like try to get your money back or something because it's like that's it's one of those products that was sold and to fool people into thinking they're buying a legit product, and you know it's just like it's just a shame that those exist. I think like it's not, you know. I don't know, like, but whatever. Well, I mean, yeah, it just sucks because it's like they're some legitimately amazing items, and then this some people knocked them off to fool people into getting them, And, you know, people like you who had been wanting these for a while and they finally see them for cheap and they're like, oh, wow, I can finally own these. I've been waiting. And then they get duped into buying them. And then, you know, I don't know. It just bums me out. And I think that, you know, stuff like that that happens, like you should – if you should try to – you know, I don't know. I'm not telling you what to do, but like, I think it would be worth your time to say like, well, this is a knockoff. So, you know, what are my options here? Because this isn't the product that I thought I was going to get, but it also sounds like maybe you knew ahead of time that they could have been knockoffs. So whatever, it's up to you.
Yeah.
I just think it's a bummer because those are some really great figures and it sucks a little bit. I think the whole situation, but.
Well, I mean, like with Transformer knockoffs, my belief is if you go into them knowing what it is,
yeah,
I don't really have a problem with that. It's just when people are trying to trick dudes, which clearly they are, because even the packaging says NECA on it. The packaging is very, very close to the original packaging. But when I ordered them, I ordered them knowing that they most likely were non-originals. But, you know, a lot of people are going to order them not knowing that they're not originals.
Right.
So, you know, buyer beware and all that stuff. But, you know, and I like never put reviews in for stuff I buy off Amazon. I spend my whole life writing reviews. But, you know, I probably should go leave a review and say, no, these definitely are knockoffs. I figured it out. I cracked the code. But, you know, for the price, I believe that these are a good enough substitute. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're very well made. They're great. They didn't the paint jobs are almost identical. Like, there's some slight, like, on the originals, like the parts of the shell on their chest is a slightly different shade of yellow. And these ones, the black lines on the handles, you don't see on a weapon anyway because they're going to be in the dude's hands, aren't as deep dark. But, I mean, they're very well-made knockoffs. They're not cheap knockoffs. They're quality knockoffs, if that makes any sense. They're high-end knockoffs. They're the pre-order 66 of knockoffs. Pre-order 65.
I like math jokes.
Right. But it's just, you know, watching that show the last few weeks, getting the current turtle figures, I was just sort of all fired up for turtles, so. And that show is really good if you're not watching it.
I love that show.
The animation is crazy good. Like every episode has at least one scene where I think somebody at Nickelodeon wasn't paying attention because these dudes are doing way more animation than you see on TV.
Yeah.
Like it just feels like they're getting away with something.
No, there's a ton of like, I mean, it made it all over. There's a GIF out there, made it all over the Facebook pages and everything. But I mean, there's even a friggin' like 1971 Kamen Rider pose reference that Michelangelo did in like episode 3.
Yeah, well, in this most recent episode, there's this couple minute long scene of them running across rooftops, and the distance of the camera is changing. Sometimes it's close up, sometimes it's from really far away. Sometimes it's mid-range, and they're running and jumping and doing flips and vaulting over obstacles, and one of them's on a skateboard, and he's doing skateboard tricks the whole way, and there's just so much going on. Like, it just wasn't a simple animation of them running across rooftops and then sort of hopping from building to building. There's tons of movement going on, and it's just... I mean, just for nothing else, watch the show and marvel at the quality of the animation, because a weekly kids cartoon has no business being this well made. It's, it's nuts. And I hope that they get a better fate than Thundercats did, because that was another show that had quality animation in it that And that show just didn't get a chance.
Ninja Turtles has two things to its advantage. Number one is not on Cartoon Network, which seems to just relish in destroying good shows. But it's also got a toy line that seems like it might potentially have a stronger run than the Thundercats toy line did. So.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes, but yeah, it's a good show. The damn well done show, and Nolan North does voices. It's another case of Nolan North talking to himself.
Well, he does voices for an entire alien species. It's great.
And like Lewis Black did a voice in one episode.
Yeah,
it was weird.
Have you seen the Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated?
No, I haven't.
Lewis Black is a semi-regular character on that show.
Huh. Yeah, well, when his character popped up in this one episode, like, I'm hearing the voice, and I know the voice, and I'm like, I'm racking my head for voice actors.
Good to know it's not just me who had that with that one.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm racking my head, I'm thinking of voice actors, and I'm trying to picture the voice coming out of other characters. I'm like, I can't place this voice, and I'm usually pretty good at that. Like, even if I don't know the person's name, like, I could place other characters they've done, and it was just driving me nuts. And I'm like, I can't place this voice. I know this voice from somewhere. And then I say it out loud, and I'm watching the episode with a Dashiana via Skype, and I'm like, I know this voice from somewhere. This voice is somebody. And she's like, let me think. And then she goes, oh my god, it's Lewis Black. I'm like, holy, it is Lewis Black. This is crazy. So, yeah, it's a good show. And that's all I got this week.
All right.
Let me look around real quick. Yeah, that's all I got.
Well, before he passes out, GM Fan 101, what did you get this week that's off topic?
Hi.
Hi.
I finally completed, at least in parts, the original Power Rangers Megazord. I bought a slightly worse for wear one off of Ranger Board.
Oh dear.
With Triceratops horns and the sword and the cannons I was missing on the one that I have. So he's now fully armed up. And at AFX, I'll be picking up the Repro Labels sticker set for him to make him look proper.
Oh, we're going to have Repro Labels at AFX?
Yeah, I'm assuming so. They're usually there. And this also goes to anybody who wants to go to AFX or even TFCon or any show Repro Labels does. If you want to get something from them, message them, and they will bring it to the show, and you can pick it up from them there, you know, tax-free.
Yeah, I mean, you'll save the $3 flat rate shipping, but it'll also be good to get them in person so you don't run the risk of a mailman bending the envelope and thus possibly messing up your sticker sheets.
Yeah, like, I usually make a nice little list of things that I want, and then I'll email them. And
it's a good idea.
I'm really good at bringing them. And I'm starting to think I'm in three digits worth of shit that I need from them now, so...
Yeah, I should do that, because every time I see them at a convention, I always end up going like, oh yeah, and I look at their catalog, and I just get lost in their catalog, and I'm like, this one! And then I go to their website when I get home, like, oh, I should have asked for this, this, and this. So that's a very good idea, because I want to get more of their Prime sticker sheets.
Oh yeah, like, and the Ratchet one is beautiful. I picked up that one at TFCon, the Knockout one looks really good too. I saw that at Duncan.
The Knockout one is fantastic. It's like literally wrapping a car because you're using Oracle vinyl, which I learned about from a video by the guy who designed it, and it's great. I kind of want to also get their Ultimate Optimus Prime sticker set because they made a sticker set for it. So
yeah, it actually kind of makes me want to get that thing now, even though it's a huge monstrosity still. But
they got Power Rangers. That
looks really good.
They got Power Rangers as well.
Yeah, I think even up to the Power Rangers in space, like, you know, the Thunder Megazord's on there as well, the Shogun Megazord and the Ninja Megazord. So yeah. I have to get... Oh, and Dragonzord as well, and Titanus. But I need to get a better Dragonzord and
clean up Titanus. Yeah, get a better Dragonzord, all right? Mine looks so much better than yours, and it's...
Yeah, it does. I'm jealous of yours.
Good.
Douche.
Good.
You don't even have it here. It's still in BC.
Yep.
And a stackable container.
Nope. It's actually just chilling out on a shelf.
Oh, he's a jerk.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's probably about it. Although I am thinking about purchasing this replica jacket from Smallville Season 9 that Clark wore. Or was it 10? Season 10. 10.
Do you want to be Superman?
No, I just like the jacket.
Yeah, it's weird.
Hey, Clark. No one else can love you. Only me. I'm wearing your jacket, Clark.
Don't make Seth jealous.
Well, that's all you got for us, then. Let's close this out. Gog-gog.
You're going to cosplay as Clark Kent, aren't you?
Can you hear
me? Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
There he is. Wake up, asshole.
I wasn't asleep. I'm playing Dark Souls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's better than being asleep.
Wasn't I catching all kinds of guff last time about playing video games or shit?
We'll have a talk about this, but we can't be doing episodes till 2 in the morning every other week. So something's gonna have to change.
We should have less than 4 people to go for less than that.
But what'd I get? Sure. In the box Seth sent me, he also gave me a one of the little Beast Saga guys, the translucent shark dude.
Oh, I want that shark. I'm jealous. Yeah.
So there's several of those guys that I think I wouldn't mind getting my hands on, but I think he's neat. I don't mind the plunger thing. Like, I want to see it in action as far as how it works with the game. But
has anyone translated the game yet?
I don't know.
I can't believe that no one has so far.
I haven't really had a need to look because I don't have anybody to play with.
But, I got my PlayArts Kai, Garrus, and he's really cool. Just, you know, the thing with the bird feet, it does make him somewhat hard to pose, I'd say, above some of the other play arts. But I actually got, because like the one review that I had read said that it was almost impossible to even get him to stand, and I ended up posing him, and he held his position for a good 3 days, but he did end up toppling over. So I do think any long-term posing, you're probably going to want to do use a stand of some sort, I think, unless he's on a shelf where he's safely able to lean up against it or something like that. But you don't want to risk breaking it. But even with that small complaint, I still think that he is more than worth the price tag. I really doubt we're going to get a better Garrus unless, like I said, they do a Hot Toys version or something, which if that's up your alley, that's fine, but I'm not in the market to buy $250 figures like that. And also, previously mentioned friend Noise Maze found me at retail one of the new Turtle series figures of Metalhead. And I like Metalhead. He's actually based on the concept art by Derek Wyatt, and it's pretty faithful. I like him. I didn't really read a lot about him ahead of time, other than people saying like, yeah, I think he's really cool. And I saw lots of pictures. I'm like, oh man, I love that guy. Like, he's a robot turtle. I love the design. It's just great. So when I got the figure, I was actually a little bit disappointed because I didn't realize that the arms have almost no articulation. Like, the shoulders swivel, but both of the elbows are locked in fixed poses. And so I was a little bummed by that because, like, a lot of the comments I had read was like, oh, man, yeah, this figure is, you know, he's on par with the rest of the Turtles. And I think I had read a couple comments along those lines, or maybe I misunderstood what they were saying, and... I know I read several comments saying, besides the Turtles, he's easily the best figure. So I guess I was expecting more along the lines of the articulation that those guys had. And he's certainly not bad, but, like, especially looking at some of the other figures, it's like most of the figures in the line, even the new ones, like Fish Face and Dog Pound, I think are their names.
Yep.
Like, they have, like, no articulation. Like, it's almost like... they're trying to homage the original Turtles line where everything just had swivel hips, swivel shoulders, and it's over. So that it's kind of a bummer. Like, the line is really inconsistent. I think the four main Turtles, for what you get money-wise, is a great deal. I don't know if any of the other figures are. And I'd probably, I mean, I really like Metalhead, and I'm glad I got him. So I don't mind it at all. And he, like, his hand, one of his hands is, I guess his hands in the show, because at least it reflects that way in the box art. It looks like he can shoot laser beams out of his hands, or like little beam shooters come out of his hands or transform, even along the way of like Transformers Prime, where a gun will pop out where the hand is. So they match that gimmick a bit with he has a missile. It's a pressure missile where you put it in his hand, and then you can kind of flick it from the back, and it'll shoot out from his wrist. So, but it is what it is. But other than the lack of arm articulation, I think he's a really great figure. It's just a shame that it's so inconsistent, and I can't really accept the fact that, like, they would make the claim that, you know, the line would, these figures would be too expensive to make with a simple elbow joint. Like, it's just, it's so strange. But it is what it is. And I'm glad that I got him. It's just, like I said, all he needed was some elbows and he would have been amazing. As it stands, he is, I think as a figure, he's kind of mediocre, but just the fact that his design is so awesome, like, at least for me anyway, it makes up for it. So, but yeah. But, I think that's all I got. I might be forgetting something that I didn't write down. If so, I'll bring it up later, but that's all I got.
All right. If that's all the what we got for what we got, then that is the show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in this week. That's been myself. That's been Gog Dog. That's been Seth Buzzard. And that's been special Canadian guest, my little guy, GM Fan 101. And if you'd like to leave us
just because you finished your poutine.
Yep. Hey, listen. All right. That was a growing exercise for you. I had to do that to you. We went to Smokes Poutine. First time that that Chris here has been to Smokes Poutinery. And I did the thing you're supposed to do when you go to Smokes with a newbie, is you try to very subtly convince them to get a large. Because the Smokes large is to be respected. And I convinced them to get a large. And the respect was found.
It's delicious.
So if you'd like to leave us a voicemail, our Google Inbox voicemail number is area code 318-775-9830. That's 318-775-9830. That is 318-775-9830. I would love to hear from you guys about things. So post in the threads about things. And we'll talk to you next week. Until then, love and kisses.
Love is here.
Tilda.
It means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.